about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, Billy, time to rock and roll. Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Man, are you sitting down? Get ready for this.
Right, neither of you has a job.
You cannot have a job and still hate Mondays.
Like Garfield.
Like Garfield, Jimmy. It's Garfield.
How scary is America now, bitch?
Hi, guys. I like to say hi to everyone in the United States of America right now. Hi, everyone in the United States of America. How are you doing? I'm doing good so far.
Entitled, selfish, spoiled children. Blissfully untrained, unversed, and unprepared to even attempt real art.
And now...
You have to admit, it hasn't started out great.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Well, good, Kevin.
You have a lot of breath there, son.
Woo! Woo!
It's like watching the Woo! Flash run by, man. When the show's getting ready to start, you look around and 10 seconds are left and there's no Kevin. You go, well, I guess he's not. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, how did he do that?
Right?
Wow. I had a better record.
I left my house 2 minutes ago. I'm not sure how I did that exactly, but.
Oh, you didn't realize the show started at 5:30 this morning when you woke up?
You know what happened? And this is weird. I used to set my clocks ahead purposefully so it would show 5 o'clock when it was really only 5 till. And then I thought, you know what? That's stupid because I know it's. Set 5 minutes.
Right, early. You can't fool yourself if you're the one who changed it.
So then
right?
I changed it to the regular time so that it's actually telling me the time, and now I can't get here on time no matter what I do.
Isn't that weird?
So should I reset my clocks earlier?
I would set them now 10 minutes earlier, see what that does.
No,
here's
why. Because again, you'll run into the exact same trap. If you can set it an hour earlier, but you know you set it.
Right.
You need to tell your wife to do it at some point and not tell you.
Oh,
that way, you think it's right.
Trickery.
And you need to say to her, look, either change it or don't. Don't tell me. Either way, don't tell me. And that way, gradually, she'll probably move it back a little bit, and it'll work to your advantage because you won't know about it.
Interesting.
See? There you go.
Smart, Bean.
I'll make a note.
Then you'll be here at 5:28 tomorrow.
That's right.
Have nothing but to be swimming in time. Hey, we got a lot of show to talk about. I have a story to get us started, but I'm very concerned about Miss Allie McKay because I just assume everyone's dead if they're if they don't show up or if they don't call when they're supposed to.
Right.
It's kind of strange,
they don't
but
answer
yes.
an email. My first thought is, well, they're dead. Allie, one tweet over the weekend. One.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I was busy. I had things to do.
You're you. What could you have been busy doing?
Were you monitoring my
what
tweets?
What the hell? Well, no, but I do follow you, and I do notice, when you're mysteriously missing for days at a time. It's suspicious.
Well,
and
thank
it's
you for reaching out to make sure I was okay.
And then I started thinking about it, and I saw, you had a lot of rain, and I thought, well, maybe, she's asleep one night, and her car washed away, and she, is in the reservoir.
Oh. Well, again, thank you for reaching out.
Was busy ever a concern, Bean?
Never even occurred to me. Never even occurred to me. She watches TV in her car all weekend. That's what she does. And orders Christmas trees from QFC. So did you, or QVC, I guess it is. Did you, you're just busy, just doing things with people?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know, it's shocking, but indeed.
Like people do.
Now, from now on, I will set timers to my tweets just to not,
please.
Just to not alert you.
I was this close to calling the authorities. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
All right, here's the story briefly. A 70-year-old man, Richard Clem, and his wife, Luann, have both been working at the Case Pork Roll Company. I was unfamiliar with this delicacy that is the pork roll. Maybe Ralph knows about it because it's based in Trenton, New Jersey, and apparently it is a treat. It's not a ham. It's not a sausage. It's a pork roll. And they've been selling them for decades and decades and decades there. But this guy is in the news right now because he has recently been fired. And he and his wife believe, and they are suing the company, that is a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. He was fired because he farts too much at work.
That's a great reason.
Is it now?
Yes.
Let me hear you as the attorney defend that. He's been working at the Case Pork Roll Company since 2004. He believes he did a good job. He weighed 420 pounds when he was hired, but then he had gastric bypass surgery back in 2010. And as a result of that, there were a bunch of side effects, including extreme gas. And here's my favorite for a company that makes food, uncontrollable diarrhea.
Oh, dear.
Now, he was not working out on the floor, by the way. He wasn't working the machines or cutting up the meat or anything like that. He was a business guy. He's a comptroller. So he was just working back in the offices, in case you're concerned. He was not working near the food. But his symptoms worsened in 2013, which the employer says caused a significant disruption in the workplace. Apparently, the company president, Thomas Dolan, repeatedly griped about the man's gas problem, saying things like, we can't run an office and have visitors with odor in the office. They were having complaints from people who had a problem with the odors. But they are suing because of – she quit, by the way. She said because of the harassment and discrimination her husband faced because of his farting. And they are suing because they said – here's the statement from the attorney. Flatulence and farting is the sexy part of the story, but my client suffers from obesity, which is covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act. So their argument is going to be, you didn't fire me because of the farting. You fired me because I was fat.
Was it Psycho Mike?
That was my first question, I'll tell you. Believe me, I double-checked all the details of this story to make sure it was not.
Allie, there was a time when we had to actually make a rule for Mike.
Oh,
that
geez.
This studio is off-limits. You have to go out there.
Yeah, fart-free zone.
And that's when Chip was answering the phones.
Yeah, and he would go into my room and then fart and leave.
He's evil. And his poops are stinky.
Yeah, right. He would love it too. He would love it, and he was deadly. And he
nothing made him happier.
Exactly. Anyway, they did. Huffington Post did consult a criminal defense attorney to ask what they thought, and he said it doesn't pass the smell test. This lawsuit. I don't know if employers could help with reasonable accommodations because he's making it uncomfortable for other employees. Plus, his explosive bouts of diarrhea would make it hard for him to do his job. So anyway, we'll keep our eyes peeled and see what happens. But. How'd you like to have that story down at the bar when people say, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear, Richard, you lost your job. What happened? Oh, you know, farting too much. Sure, he's got a backup story.
He's got to.
Psycho Mike would go, yes, that's the best story ever.
Oh, geez.
Guys, I got fired for this. That would be great.
I'm surprised he hasn't been fired from Loveline for that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
This is literally the most exciting thing that I've ever seen.
Not sure I'd go that far. Samurai Cop 2.
Yeah.
Is a thing. And we have Matt Carreras. Is that how you say his name? Matt Carreras?
I think so. Carreras? Hold on. Could you say the name of the movie again for me, please? I wasn't ready.
Samurai Cop 2.
Yeah, worth it.
I like it. I like it a lot. Also on the program today, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ. Very excited about that.
Sorry.
The Yelp for People. Have you heard this app? People?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Why do you say it like that, Allie? Like it's not an awesome idea.
It's a horrible idea.
It's an awesome
idea. It's horrible.
It's about time you got some advance word as to what kind of folks you're dealing with.
And it's about time somebody made it easier to be mean online. And I think that's what the big point is. Yeah.
Good
you pretty much just review people. It's an odd thing. Also on the program today, Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL.
Oh, look at Chip.
Look at Chips, at Kevin, look at Ralph. Not a lot of wings in the office today.
Yeah.
No, but I'm happy, being because even though the Cardinals lost, Chip had him in the suicide pool.
Week one, I'm out.
Boom. By the way, week one of the restart.
Yeah.
So we were all out before that. So anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Back on the world-famous K-Rock, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
The 80s are back, right?
They sure are.
Pretty much, yeah.
According to that song.
Hey, listen to K-Rock all week. This is a pretty cool deal, you guys. Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest is going on. And keep on listening. You get a chance to ride the biggest collection of roller coasters around and also stay through the night to experience one of the best scream parks in the country. All week long on the Kevin DeBicho and on K-Rock. We'll tell you when to call. It'll be very soon. Ralph is here now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Because it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, the number one film in the nation this weekend was The Martian, and its debut made about $55 million.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. In fact, they say it's going to fall just short of the October record set for a opening weekend in the month of October by Gravity 2 years ago, which made $55.8 million. So it could the exact figures are still coming in, so it could break it, but they probably fall a little short. Still pretty strong.
Yep.
Second, Hotel Transylvania 2. That's right. Made another $33 million at the box office this weekend. $33 million. That's a lot of people.
All kids?
It's got to
be,
right?
People with kids?
It's got to be.
I would think so.
But even that's a lot for that.
I know.
A lot of people have kids, as you know. You know, you remember what it was like, Kevin, when you got to find a movie for the kids?
Of course.
You go to whatever.
Here's the thing. You don't have to find a movie for the kids.
No, you don't.
And you could say, oh, Adam Sandler is Dracula? No, let's go play outside. You have options. Parents, exercise them.
Sicario. Hey, Sicario, how you do? Why you so much ago eat a pizza? You never sit down for any pasta no more. You're breaking your mama's heart, Sicario.
I'm not sure that's what that's about. I think that's a different storyline.
Oh, that about a guy named Tony Sicario?
No. I don't believe so, no.
Upsetting his family in Sicily?
Not really at all, no.
Third at the box office, $12.1 million. Then The Intern, Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials at number five. Black Mass was sixth. Everest, The Visit, War Room, and The Perfect Guy rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. This is good news. Penn Jillette is moving to a more family-friendly home in the Las Vegas suburbs. So he's selling his former mansion, which, as you know, is just a playground.
Oh, yeah.
An adult playground.
Yeah. It looked like a prison, though, didn't it?
There were elements of it that had sort of a prisony vibe. Mm-hmm. Tall chain-link fences and some cinder block buildings and stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was very plush and palatial. Now it looks like it's going to be purchased by the United Church of Bacon.
I'm sorry?
Finally, a church I can get behind. The United Church of Bacon.
I'm sorry?
The United Church of Bacon. We have to talk to someone from the United Church of Bacon.
No kidding.
They are an international atheist church. A church for atheists. God bless them. They're a parody church, basically. And they want to buy the mansion to make it an atheist community center. They want to hold events to celebrate atheism, skepticism, secular charities, and then, of course, hold bacon weddings on the property, they say.
No, I want my bacon. I got to tell you something. Bacon is good for me.
See, there's that kid. He's a member.
And Penn is a very famous, well-known atheist, so this probably has good vibes in the building, right?
I'm sure he's probably a member.
Yep.
If not a contributor, too. So,
what do you think, at atheist get-togethers?
You say, that religion, that's bunk, right? All right, meeting adjourned. Then
see you next Wednesday.
Go out and cook up some bacon, I'm guessing.
Somebody hand me some bacon.
Oh, can you imagine? What their communion is like? You just walk down the aisle, open up your mouth, get a nice little piece of bacon on your tongue. Ah, wash it down with a cold brew. I'm joining! United Church of Bacon. Bacon! Nothing else smells like bacon, that's bacon!
What's happening?
You don't remember the bacon strips? You don't remember the commercial for bacon strips?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then don't look at me like, well, what are you doing? Hey, what's all that about? Hey, Dr. Phil, he's a douchebag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Here's the story about this guy. He's got one of the number one syndicated talk shows in America. The number one syndicated talk show. There's other shows that beat him out, but they're like court shows like Judge Judy and stuff. He pulls in a rumored $70 million a year.
Wow.
Well, his staff was treated to a nice surprise when they all came back to work the other day. He has fired everyone in the transcription department. These are the people who take each and every show and transcribe it down to a written format.
Right.
They're all gone. The head of public relations fired her, and some of the producers have now been sacked as well.
What happened?
Cost-cutting measures, Kevin.
Hmm.
You know, when you're making 70 mil a year, it doesn't go as far as it used to. You got to tighten the belt once in a while.
And he does have to eat.
So while he's solving everyone's problems on air, he's causing everyone's problems behind the scenes. He's a bad person.
Dr. Phil, what's going on?
Oh, you know, I occasionally I might
drink a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I drink with Xanax.
Well, there's...
Actually, I take 2 to 3 times well, what is prescribed for Xanax.
Problematic.
And pour alcohol on top of it.
Right.
And I've got 15 pill bottles with narcotics hidden under a shelf in a closet.
Mm. That explains a lot. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on the 5th of Rocktober. Goddamn right.
It's 100% Chip. I was just looking at you.
See, Chip?
She tapped my arm, pointed at it.
You're better than him.
Oh, no question.
Clive Barker is 63 years old today. TV host and brainiac Neil deGrasse Tyson celebrates his 57th birthday. Nope, Kevin, we don't need it there, really. Usually just when I say Rocktober, that's when we do it. And you didn't have it there. You are a joy to behold.
I'm ready.
Guy Pearce is 48 years old today. Actress Kate Winslet. Oh, who doesn't love little Katie Winslet?
She's the best.
She's the best, right?
What has she been nominated for, like 6 Oscars in her career or something like that?
She is just a treasure.
So talented.
She's 40 years old today. Actor Jesse Eisenberg, soon to be seen as Lex Luthor in the upcoming Batman v Superman, 32 years old today. And DJ Dylan Francis is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So am I the only one in this room who regularly looks forward to, watches, and enjoys Saturday Night Live?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm at Ali. You two, you're out on SNL, too?
Yeah. Haven't been in for a long time.
You're missing so much good stuff.
I don't think so.
Did you see the primetime special on Saturday night, the documentary about Saturday Night Live, the two-hour Live from New York documentary?
No.
So great.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't want to talk to you guys.
Saturday night, though, I'm saying, you know, people might have
other plans.
Talk to my
friend Harvey Levin instead. Harvey's got my back. Harvey, you got my back, right?
I'm always.
Thank you. I mean, look, SNL, here's the thing about Saturday Night Live. The show just came back for its 41st season this past Saturday.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And the rap on Saturday Night Live is, it always used to be better, no matter what it is, even if it's the golden...
No, I think the rap is the opposite. I think the rap is that it has lows and highs, and mm-hmm. I think it goes back and forth. I don't think... everybody says, yeah, when they were 22, that's when it was great. But I think, you know, when you look at it, I'm old enough that I remember John Belushi and Jane Curtin, and I remember, like, when I was a kid, going to bars, and the bars would stop, and they'd play it on the screen, and everybody would watch it at 11:30, and everybody said, oh, when they left, it was over. And then, you know, Will Ferrell came, and, I mean, Eddie Murphy, it goes up and down and has for 40 years.
My problem with it is there's way too much filler. It's just not funny at all. And then there's maybe one funny skit. Maybe.
I think their percentage is way more than that. I mean, it's a 90-minute show that they put together in 5 days. So, yeah, not everything is going to be the equivalent of what a scripted show would be that somebody might have a month to write. I totally get that.
Can I tell you a really old story? One of the best stories I've heard from the guy who owns People's Court, Stu Billett, told me this story once. That there, you know, the first host of The Tonight Show was Jack Parr. And Jack Parr was basically really boring. But every 2 weeks, he'd go off the rails and do something just bizarre. And everybody would watch every day because they didn't know which day it would happen. And that's why Jack Parr was so popular. So that's been the case with television all along, that nobody hits home runs every time they go to bat.
Do you think, though, Harvey, now that we live in an era where you don't have – like, Kevin didn't watch SNL, but he saw a couple of clips the next day that were funny, and that's all you need anymore is just to go to Hulu Sunday morning and you got it covered.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the case with a lot of stuff now. I mean, you know, it's funny because when they put like big chunks of concerts on YouTube, you know, most people don't want to see that. They want to see that one moment when Kanye goes off the rails.
Sure, right,
so,
exactly.
I mean, I think everybody does that with everything now. Except
no, you're right.
Which is funny for a half hour every day, right?
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Right. Well, let's talk about I know we got some other stories to get to. Let's talk just for a minute about this weekend's SNL. First of all, what'd you think of Miley as host?
You know, I thought I only watch clips as well, but, you know, I thought she was fine. And, I mean, the crying thing, you know, I mean, look, I really feel bad.
Explain to people what that was.
She had a dog that got eaten by a coyote, and it was about a year ago. And she did this kind of homage to the dog when she was sitting at a piano and singing with the dog's picture on the top of the piano. And she was sobbing pretty much through the whole song. And, I mean, she's kind of done that before. I mean, look, I'm not going to... I love animals so much that I'm not going to... It just seemed...
You're not going to accuse her of acting.
No, but it just seemed a little much. You know what I mean?
I will. Seems like she was acting.
No, I do. Look, I'm not a performer. Anyone who's heard this show knows that's true. So I don't know how much of that emotion that inspired the song that she wrote about her dog Floyd actually comes back up to the surface when she sings that song, and how much of it is just showbiz. It might. It's possible. What about the worst kept secret in show business, which was that Hillary Clinton was going to be making an appearance, trying to once again humanize herself, make herself appear like she can, you know, she can make fun at her own expense and have a good sense of humor? How do you feel she came off?
Okay, two things. One, I thought she was awesome. I thought her, like, impression of Donald Trump was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. But the bigger thing to me is that all the traditional candidates have been saying, you know, Donald Trump's making a circus out of the presidential election. And then what they do to get attention is they go on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right, right. It is funny, though. You hear candidates talk a lot about other candidates. You rarely see them do an impression like she did on the show. I mean, that was a real surprise, wasn't it?
It was a surprise, but it kind of shows that Trump is the one, you know, they're all kind of marginalizing Trump and saying, oh, he's crazy, he's this, he's that. But he's setting the agenda on how this campaign plays out. And I think he's done that with her. And she's the one who has basically kind of, you know, poo-pooed him and dismissed him and everything else. Well, she's kind of played right into what he's done. So, you know, in some ways he won this.
Exactly. If he's not a serious candidate, why is she wasting time making fun of him?
Exactly.
This is the voice of Harvey Levin on the line from the newsroom at TMZ.com. All right, one more thing we want to ask you about, Harvey, and I got to be honest, I'm not 100% clear what the slut walk was Saturday in L.A. I know it involved Amber Rose, the model, but what's it all about?
Well, I mean, it's basically an event, and it's, you know, Amber Rose is sexy, and she's done all sorts of things in her past lives, and so she has this big event in downtown Los Angeles. To me, the most interesting thing was she gets on stage and starts sobbing. And I think the sobbing on this one was real. And she's just like this hand-wringing about how her, you know, the guy she was with in the past, Wiz Khalifa and Kanye, have really hurt her and tortured her. And, you know, that Wiz basically said she was, you know, all she was a stripper. And Kanye had said when he was with her, he felt like he needed to take 30 showers, and she was just...
Wait, she didn't like that?
Didn't like it a bit. Didn't like it a bit. And she, but the fact that she, A, mentioned it, and B, that she was just sobbing on stage, on the one hand, but then on the other hand, when she did the red carpet, she sent out, we got this this form that she sent out to all the media saying, anybody who asks about Kim or Kanye will be thrown off the red carpet immediately.
And then she gets up on stage and starts talking about Kanye.
Exactly, exactly.
What was the point of this event, though? What was she trying to do?
Well, I guess here's the thing.
Empower sluts, Bean.
The opposite.
What? Oh, the opposite?
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's the thing. You call something the slut walk, you're going to watch it, right?
Yeah. There you go. I guess
there you
so.
Go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you can see footage of that up at TMZ.com. All sorts of other great stories, including some Justin Bieber karaoke you won't believe. TMZ airs throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, and TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel as well. And we understand from last week a game show coming soon. Harvey Levin, you're the best. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, we've been doing this feature called What's Good for the past few weeks, where you call up and talk about any topic on your mind, something that maybe we are neglecting, something you got questions about, something you want to bring to our attention. People now are starting to get into it and ask when it is. So this morning it's going to be just after 7 o'clock, right? So about a little less than a half an hour from right now, we're going to be asking you for your calls to get in on Kevin Bean's What's Good. Big viral video last week. You saw this camper in Alaska. Her name is Mary Maley. And I feel like a lot of people were rooting for the bear.
Yeah. I know I was
on this one. It's a tough situation. She's up there trying to attempt a solo trip via kayak between Ketchikan and Petersburg. And she stopped in Berg Bay. And she had just carried her tent and her food and all of her gear into the cabin there, the U.S. Foreign Service cabin there, to dry off. And then she was going on a hike. Well, she put her stuff in the cabin and then heard a noise and turned around. And a bear was up out of the water eating her kayak. And she, to her credit, she didn't panic. I mean, she didn't turn and run.
No.
But she did try to annoy the bear to death with her voice. And here's a little piece of that tape.
Thank you for leaving my kayak alone. I'm going to pepper spray you in the face. That's what I'm going to do to you. Go away.
So the bear goes, all right, I'll go away. There's some more kayak to eat.
No! Get away from the kayak! Get away from that kayak! Come here! Come on! Stop it, bear! Bear, you're breaking it! You're breaking my kayak!
That is an annoying voice.
That's tough voice. Now, let me ask you guys this, because I know everybody's being pretty hard on Miss Maley. What would you have done in that situation?
Charged it. She would have ran right at it.
It's a bear, Kevin. Yeah. Bear plus Kevin equals bear. You know that, right?
Don't know.
I mean, she was trying to be annoying. I think she was trying to be annoying to the bear, wasn't she?
You think she was trying to make that sound?
I'm not saying she was intentionally making her voice go bad. Her voice is bad. I'm saying I think she was trying to yell at the bear, hoping that he would leave.
Did she really think that the bear's name was Bear?
Right.
Well, I think that bear probably answers to anything. I don't know. Can we hear a little bit more, please?
Sure. Oh, my God, that voice. Oh.
Go in the cabin. Wow. Chill out for a while.
Just forget about your kayak is what you're saying.
Forget it.
Well, we have many questions for Mary Maley, who actually put the video up on YouTube herself. So I guess she can't be surprised that a lot of people want to talk to her about it. And she joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now from Anchorage, Alaska. Hi, Miss Maley. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah. Is this?
Hello.
We were told Mary was on the line.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We're looking for Mary Maley.
I don't know her.
Oh. She's a little blonde lady with an annoying voice, and she's...
Oh, yeah, her. Yeah, I know her.
The one with the kayak?
Yeah.
Who's this?
That's where I found this phone. It was in near the kayak. I just rang. I just answered it.
Are you Bear?
Oh, Bear. Are you human?
Right. You probably have a real name, don't you, Bear?
That woman. Bear. My name's Ryan, okay?
Ryan. Well, how was she supposed to know that? You don't wear a name tag.
She asks. How about that? Better just screaming, bear, racist bitch.
It is a little offensive when you think about it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, just calling somebody by their species. All right, human. All right, human. What's your question, human?
Well, my question is, what's in it for you to eat a plastic kayak?
Hey, you know what, human? Let's stop with your revisionist history, okay?
All right.
Oh.
Now I know how the indigenous American people felt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The way you people write your history books. She came to my home, first of all.
Yeah, that's true.
I live there, okay?
Right.
And I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I come by. Hey, how you doing? Can I borrow a cup of honey? You know, bears love honey.
Okay.
And I'm just coming over to say hi. What does she do?
She pepper sprays.
Pepper sprays me in the face.
Yeah, that can't have been fun.
Okay, game on. pepper spray me in the face? Well, how about I go visit your kayak? How about that?
So.
Wow.
Yeah, Ryan, you're pissing me off.
Oh, I'm Ryan.
Look, we're not trying to.
Why did you bother a kayak? I'm going to give you a face full of pepper spray, human, and see how you like it.
Now, that's legitimate. I can understand this. So she really drew first blood.
There was no blood. It was just pepper spray.
Well, it's just an expression. I mean,
I'm a bear. I understand your human expression. Okay.
All right, so...
with the thing. Me. I should have eaten her. By all rights, I should have mauled her to death.
Yeah, well...
But I didn't. Why? Because I'm civilized, okay?
So you eat the kayak. She says that it doesn't even taste good. How did it taste?
I didn't eat the kayak.
Yeah, you ate part of it.
I destroyed the kayak.
Okay.
Excuse me for using my massively powerful jaws, but I don't have opposing thumbs, you racist a-hole. Okay? So I use what I have. You know what I have? Enormously powerful jaws.
Yeah, okay.
And I used it to destroy her kayak.
All right, so you were just getting
now
back.
Now I'm the bad guy. Now I'm the villain.
You were getting back at her for the pepper spray, and then, but didn't? Aren't you then stranding her there in your neighborhood? Wouldn't you want her to have the kayak so she'd get the hell out of there?
Wow, life's a bitch, and then a bear destroys your kayak, okay? Why am I concerned with her travel plans? Why is that my worry? When did her emergency become my problem? I'm going to come after you two, way you behave. This is annoying, this
phone call.
We're
just asking questions. That's all we're doing.
What about the fact that it's September and you're supposed to be asleep?
Yeah. You know what? I'm not a child. You don't tell me when to go to bed, okay? If I want to walk around and I want to visit somebody who's coming to my house and say hi, that's my business. You're supposed to be asleep. But you're supposed to be in a car on a freeway where humans belong, okay? Not in Alaska where bears live. Why don't we all go do what we're supposed to do? Shouldn't you be accounting somewhere, you whore?
Wow, Ryan!
Why is she a whore?
Because she...
Jesus. How did she get to be a whore?
I didn't smell it on her. I'm a bear. We have great noses. What do you think about bears? Powerful jaws, great noses.
Right.
And like to be called by our names. Okay, three things about bears.
Very educational conversation, Ryan. Thanks.
I'm going to destroy this phone now.
Destroy the Ryan?
Seriously? It's just a thumb.
There's some trouble there. Again, with no thumbs. Ryan? We gotta go! Bear! Bear!
Hey. Wow, these Galaxy 6s are tougher than kayaks.
Stop breaking my kayak, please! Please stop! Gosh darn it! Oh, why are you doing that?
Gosh darn it!
Gosh darn it. Don't have a conversation with the bear. They're trying to scare it. They make noise, scream, and yell, but you're like, oh, come on now. Why is that? Hey, what's going on there? Hey, what color is that your fur is? What would you call that?
Loony, broad, kayaking by herself.
Ryan
should have
eaten
her. Dead.
Well, I think that's
fair.
Fair.
I think that's accurate and fair. Hey, listen, a lot going on here on the Kevin Bean Show, including our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up. Also, Ralph, your co-star from Samurai 2 is going
to
be joining us.
Yeah.
Samurai Cop 2. That's going to be very exciting. Right now, though, we want to open up the phone lines wide and clear for you at 1-800-520-1067. What's good is the feature. You can call and talk about anything that you want. What kind of sound effects are you making?
Nothing.
No,
just
go
about your business.
Oh,
just
geez.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Trust me, you do not want to
go
know.
About your business, citizen.
We have a very busy show. We're not going to have time to get to all the stuff. Like if you want to call about the Frozen Fury, Kevin, you were at this weekend in Las Vegas. You want to call about the UFC fights over the weekend. You want to talk about a movie. You want to talk about a TV show. You want to talk about something that's going on in your life. You got questions. You got comments. You got advice for the show. Whatever it is on your mind, we're opening up the phone lines for you. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you,
too,
Joe.
Your call is coming up right after 7. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Monday.
Speaking of comments and things, maybe we should have a phone-in topic, or maybe we should just cover this sometime later this week, about comments you really don't need to make to anyone, ever.
Comments that are not helpful in any situation?
No.
Like what?
Like, did you get your hair cut? Like that one. Mm-hmm. That one I got from She Bean here this morning.
Yeah.
What is that? I guess is what I'm asking. What is that?
Because it's clear you did.
Right.
In other words,
like I know I got a haircut.
Right.
Your hair looks good, Ralph.
But and you have noticed that as well.
Uh-huh.
Is that a conversation that needs to happen?
It's not dissimilar to, oh, really, my birthday's in October, too, because it doesn't really leave you anywhere interesting to go.
Or
it's either
about,
yes or no, and neither one of them matters.
Or another one of my favorites, wow, you got sunburned. Do you think I don't know I got sun? It's my skin that's burned. I can feel the burning skin on my body.
So you did or did not get your hair cut?
I did. But
you did, okay.
It never needs to be.
Now.
It's not surgery.
You know, if I came in without an arm, then somebody could say, wow, you had your arm amputated. That's news.
But do you know that your arm was amputated?
Yes, I would
know. Okay, it's the same thing.
But everybody knows when they get a haircut, and just it's mundane, right? Everybody does it.
Wow.
Most everybody does it.
You worry about some stuff that doesn't matter.
Well, you do talk about my hair every day.
It's magical.
Not even a little bit obsessed.
Not even magic. When I cut it. It's a daily thing now.
Allie loves your magical hair.
It's just a recurring theme, and I just think, why is this? Why is that?
Because it bugs you a little bit.
So that's your goal? Is just
no,
a bug? Just
no.
a bug.
I thought that was your goal with everything you said.
Just saying. Comments you don't need to make it work.
I like it. Looks good. Like Monday, right?
Yeah, Mondays, right? Someone's got a case of the Mondays. All right, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, as expected, debuted at number one this weekend. $55 million made it number one by far. Hotel Transylvania 2 with $33 million was second. Sicario, finally released in wide release in theaters this weekend, made $12.1 million. The Intern was fourth. Then Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials was fifth. Black Mass, Everest, The Visit, War Room, and The Perfect Guy round out your top 10 at the box office over the weekend. Keira Knightley. I love Keira. We've had her on the show a couple times. She's charming. She's lovely. She's talented. She made her Broadway debut Thursday night in a play called Therese Rakim at Studio 54 Theater. But the performance didn't quite go as she had planned. I can imagine she was nervous enough making her Broadway debut opening night. The New York Post reports that in the middle of the show, a man stood up in the balcony and shouted out a marriage proposal to Keira. Keira, will you marry me? She's doing a play. She's doing a Broadway show. She's in the middle of a play.
That is a person who's not civilized to be in a theater.
She didn't break character. She didn't acknowledge him. So, what happened because she didn't acknowledge him? He didn't get enough attention.
Oh, no.
Then he shouts out, 5 seconds is too long to wait for an answer. At that point, security grabbed the guy and threw him off the balcony. He is
Sweet.
Now dead. No, I'm sorry. Threw him out of the theater.
Oh.
So now extra security has been added to the show so they can go through the audience and make sure that no one disrupts the performances. What kind of world are we living in now?
Is this a
byproduct of people sitting at their computers tweeting and Facebooking and just saying whatever they want to anyone they want without
Probably.
Any acknowledgement of sort of the social skills?
I can't imagine that he thought it would work, right?
He's just trying to be annoying. Doing something.
Just look at me, right?
Right. It's a look at me moment. But who pays money, obviously. I bet that was a pretty pricey ticket on opening night. Who goes there just to be that guy?
Don't know.
My advice? Sniper rifles.
Okay, all right.
You put one on each side of the theater.
It would cut down on the yelling.
Night vision scopes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you just got snipers up there. And the guy's like, Keira! With a silencer, and then that's all you hear, and then the play goes on. It's a very short interruption. Everyone can just go about their business. See the little red dot on the guy, and it's all over.
I like it.
I'm going to implement that. Speaking of things we don't need, Jimmy Fallon has announced he's starting his own line of sportswear.
What?
His own line of sportswear for fans of teams. It's a sportswear fan line called Hands High. It's T-shirts and fleeces that will feature your favorite team logos in the armpit of the shirt. So when you show off your team pride and raise your arm to cheer, then in the pit of the shirt will be your team's logo. So everyone will see the logo when you're raising your arms to cheer your team.
How is that better than the way we've been doing it?
It's not. It's not. Much like the Tonight Show, it's not better than the way they were doing it.
Wow.
It'll be available at Dick's Sporting Goods and online at Fanatics. $35 for a T-shirt, $80 for a fleece. That kids and women's collections are in the works, so don't feel slighted, kids and ladies. You can have your favorite sports team in your armpit.
Well, that was pointless.
So he's got that going for him.
It's just insane.
Just stop it, Jimmy. Today's celebrity birthdays, Clive Barker. He's an author, and he's scary. Hellraiser, right?
Sure.
Amongst others. 63 years old today. Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the smartest dudes on the planet and couldn't be nicer and funnier and cooler. He, of course, the host of Cosmos.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
57 years old today. Guy Pearce, very talented actor, is 48. Kate Winslet is 40 years old today. Kate, will you marry me? Go to the next Broadway show and do that. Jesse Eisenberg's 32, and DJ Dylan Francis is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk through Showbiz Beat.
We appreciate very much you listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. How would you like to participate in The Kevin and Bean Show? Be on the air with us right now for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. The number is 1-800-520-1067. You can call us on any topic and get on the air. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
By the way, if you can't get to a phone, you still want to ask a question or make a comment, you can also text us at the number 2KROCK25767. All right, let's start with Ricky. He's in Huntington Beach. He's up first. He's on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Ricky.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks for calling. What's good?
What's good?
I would love to hear Beer Mug play some drums.
Well, you're calling him out on the fact that he likes beats?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. That is really interesting. We have often heard Beer Mug talk about how in so many interviews that he's a drummer, but have any of us actually heard him drum?
He did play for a tiny bit in Melfon, but if I remember correctly, he wasn't up to snuff, right?
I mean, Jeff, how was he in Melfon?
Mugsy.
It's the worst thing you could say about a person.
I think he may be more of a drummer in his mind than he is in his hands, Ricky. But that is if we have the opportunity to get him on the behind the kit, we'll do it for you. All right,
awesome,
great idea. Thank you,
for the call. We very much appreciate it. All right, let's go to line 1, please. West LA. This is going to be Matthew. Hey, Matthew.
Hello, hello, Kevin, Bean, Allie.
Hey,
what's good?
Kevin, on your recommendation, I went out and got the Blu-ray for The Raid Redemption, and it was amazing. Many, many loud.
I've had so many people go, hey, I watched this because of you, and it was terrible. So this really? Actually worked out.
Now, this is a movie where Kevin James runs into a thin piece of glass that he can't see, right?
No, this Raid Redemption rules, by the way.
So I made the mistake, accidentally. I just sort of hit play on the Blu-ray, and got the English dubbed version instead of the subtitled Indonesian, and the dub is awful. It's hilarious.
I'll have to try it that way.
It's the best. It's the best in, like, old kung fu movie. It's hilarious in another level.
That's awesome. Now, this was a movie from a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
And it was just if I remember correctly, Kevin, you came in, you just said just nonstop action from minute one.
Yeah, it's a high-rise that's run by drug dealers, the entire thing. So this guy pretty much by himself fights his way all the way up, by himself. And it's awesome. Action, nonstop.
Fantastic. Yeah, great advice for people who are, you know, sitting around and they're looking for something to watch that they haven't seen before. So Raid Redemption, it sounds like it gets your vote.
Just make sure you get it in the subtitled Indonesian.
I'm going to try that version.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, man. Let's go to line 3, please. Manuel is up next from Los Angeles.
Hey, Manuel.
What's going on? Good morning, guys.
What's good?
Hey, go Giggles. Anyway. I was calling because I don't know if you guys heard last week of some 100-pound dog that jumped on the driver's lap and a guy flipped over on the freeway, almost killed himself.
No, I did not see that.
I didn't see that story, no.
Yeah, they had to save him. Anyway, I don't understand why it's not a lie. We can't drive with a cell phone on our ear. How can these people be driving with their pets on their laps? Those dogs have their heads sticking out the window, and they're trying to keep them away, and at the same time, they're trying to turn, and they're swerving all over the place. Where's Adam Carolla?
Can people not get a ticket for that?
I don't know. I've never seen anybody, and I've never heard anything of that. And I don't understand why they can't. They're like those bike riders that drive around with their headphones on, and they're crossing all over the street. I don't understand why there's not a law against all that.
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, I know that there are laws that are supposed to be general enough to apply to many different situations, you know, distracted driving laws and things like that. I don't know that there's specifically something that says no dogs on your lap, but it seems like it would certainly fall under the, you know, under the guise of paying attention while you're driving and not being too distracted. I mean, you can get a ticket for, you know, screwing around with your radio or eating and lots of other things if you're involved in an accident. So there certainly should be.
Yeah, should well, be covered. You could see, yeah, those dogs, you know, they cause so much distraction. One day they're going to run over somebody. And I figured, well, when this happened, maybe somebody will speak out and say, we got to change the law. You know, we got to do something about these pets.
It is crazy how often you see it, though, how often you see people driving around with dogs on their laps. It does happen a lot.
All the time. All the time. It's like driving with a baby in your lap. It's the same thing.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let me run down a couple of real quick texts that we have for What's Good. All right. The number two, K-Rock. Did you hear the terrible news about Johnny Strange? Yes, we did. Our friend Johnny Strange, we talked about this on the show on Friday. You've heard him on the program many times over the years. He's an adventurer. He's the guy who climbs all the mountains and skateboards down mountains and does the 30-foot surf. He did pass away wingsuiting in Switzerland. We did talk about it. In fact, I think we put something up on the Facebook page, I want to say, little tribute that we put together. And there was a nice gathering of his friends and family out on the beach in Malibu yesterday, which is really nice. Tragic, sad story, only 23 years old. Let me see. Wondering when we're going to hear Ralph's Riverboat Gambler again. We'll have to ask Ralph. Find out what he gets in here. I want to know what everyone's favorite rap battle of history is, the YouTube channel. That's from the 760. Does anyone have a favorite of the epic rap battles? There's been some good ones. I liked Miley Cyrus versus Joan of Arc. That was one of the ones that I remember. And also Gandhi versus Martin Luther King Jr. was one of my favorites. That was a good one, too. And finally, Chad from Cyprus. Hey, Halloween Spooks is playing all day in Camp Snoopy. Like every 20 minutes that song would come up. What's the deal, you guys? It is the 5th of October. What do you think about that, Kevin?
It's the 5th is what I think about that. We play it on the 31st, right?
Well, we always play
that. I think we should play it leading up. Just get people in the spirit.
Early on the 31st?
No, on like the 5th.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, we're getting awfully. It just seems like, I mean, it is the holidays. We're close. We're officially into October. Come on, little Spooks.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
No.
Go sleep, things are going to happen.
No.
All right, that might be enough for now. But we're getting into the season here. There'll be more and more Halloween spooks coming up as we get closer to Halloween, and more two eyeballs too. So keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
That's bullshit.
What?
Just saying.
What is that? What's that sigh?
I'm just saying, why does Allie have to?
Because I now have a little Christmas elf on the show that I can talk holiday stuff with now that we're into the season.
During that song, Allie said, hey, Bean, you like eggnog? And Bean said, oh, yeah, I like it in certain times, not other times. And the whole conversation or that entire song was about eggnog.
You need a picture about, with eggnog.
It's eggnog time. Kevin, look, it's the holidays. They're here. Love it.
Oh, you.
Enjoy it. Embrace it. I'm just so happy to have another little Christmas friend on the show now. That's all. It's exciting. Hey, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us next hour like he do. Also, we're going to talk about that People app where you actually rate people, which I think sounds like a great idea.
Nope.
First, though, here's a story that is making all kinds of news, and it may be tough to find someone on the side of the bride and groom in this one. I understand where they're coming from.
Yep.
But I understand why people are ticked off at them. They got married recently, and one of the guests and her husband could not make it to the wedding. Well, I think we have a report. We have a news report, don't we?
Yep.
On the story to kind of explain what happened and who's ticked and why.
A Minnesota woman was all set to attend a relative's wedding when her babysitter canceled at the last minute. So Jessica Baker and her husband didn't attend the wedding because kids weren't invited. A couple weeks later, they received a bill for $75.90 in the mail to cover the meals they would have eaten at the reception.
You got to be kidding me. I guess I don't know what the right answer would have been, what the right thing to do would have been.
Viewers on CARE's Facebook page had plenty to say about the situation. One person wrote, "As a planner of many events, having no-shows is part of the process. This situation should have been considered long before the wedding took place." It's not being reported whether Jessica let the bride and groom know she and her husband wouldn't be able to attend the wedding. But a writer for The Knot does say instead of just not showing up, guests who RSVP'd yes should let the host know they can't make it to the event. A wedding planner was a little more direct when she wrote an op-ed for the Huffington Post saying, "Unless you're in the hospital or have just had a death in your immediate family, there is no excuse to no-show at a wedding. Ever. It's very rude." We're guessing Jessica and her husband aren't planning to pay the bill, though. CARE reports they actually threw it away after receiving it.
CARE, by the way, is the Channel 11 in Minnesota that's doing the story. All right, so I heard a lot of sighing and eye rolling, Allie. What's going on with you?
Okay, did she just say unless there's been a death in the family or you're in the hospital, there's no excuse?
Yes.
She missed a wedding. That's what she said. Yes.
This just in. Explosive diarrhea. I could name so many excuses.
A lot of other reasons.
That is ridiculous. And so, to let the bride or groom know, the last thing a bride or groom wants to know on their wedding day is that Jim isn't going to be able to make it. Are you kidding me? You're not that important. Let it go.
It is interesting that you say that. By the way, we want to take your calls on this topic on any aspect of this story, whether you're for or against the bride and groom, for or against the couple that didn't show. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-106. The point that you just brought up, Allie, is one of the most contested points on the Facebook thread about this, which is whether they should have let the bride and groom know that they weren't going to be there or not. It seems to be about split. About half of the people said, yeah, absolutely. You don't just RSVP yes and then no show.
But let me ask you a question.
Other half of the people are saying what you said, which is the bride and groom have something else very busying on that day.
Yeah.
They're not going to have time to field calls from everybody who can't be there. Yes, Kevin.
If you find out the day before you can't go to the wedding and you let them know, they still have to pay for you. It doesn't help.
Right.
Maybe they have a backup guest list. Maybe they have these people didn't quite make the cut, right? That's the only list I'm ever on. These people didn't quite make the cut. But remember, we had to leave your uncle and aunt out. Let's invite them and see if they want to fill in at the last minute.
Look, it's frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it sucks to pay for people who aren't there. Mm-hmm. But are you going to charge them for it?
No, it's really? A given. You just accept it. Maybe I've just been in L.A. way too long. I'm shocked when people do show up to things. Follow through with things, I'm like, wow, we actually are doing this dinner?
Especially a wedding. Come on now.
Because nobody wants to go to a wedding,
Nobody
right?
wants to go to a wedding.
Look, by the way, in case you're wondering, and I was fascinated by this, it was a herb-crusted walleye that they were having at $30 a plate.
I was wondering that.
Thank God.
So it's $30, and then so that's $60, and then a $7.95 service and tax charge. So the total bill to her, I assume, former friends, was $75.90. All right, let me ask you guys this question, and that is, if you were the couple that didn't show up because your babysitter couldn't come and you got this bill from your friend.
I can answer right now. Hell no.
Allie?
Would I pay it?
Would you pay it?
You know what? I probably would just so I could have the upper hand on it and be like, suck it. I paid it.
I would
really?
Too.
Yeah.
Not gives you the upper hand?
Yeah. I'll be the martyr.
I would pay it too, not because I want to reward their rudeness, because the married couple, the bride and groom, are clearly wrong in this. I can't defend the bride and groom. I can't. Mm-mm. But I would pay it just because it was my fault that they wasted that food, spent that money. It was my fault that they wasted that money. So I would feel better reimbursing them for it.
I wonder, would this couple then reimburse you for their gifts when they get a divorce in 2 years?
Oh. Boom!
Right?
Drop the mic! Let's talk to Mike Linupland real quick. He's up first. He's on line two of the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Michael.
Hey, party people.
What's up?
I agree with being the bride and groom are completely out of line. One of the things that ticked me off at the story when I first read it was, first off, it's a wedding where they didn't allow kids. And that automatically puts pressure on all of your guests. So complete dick move to charge them.
Interesting. That's true, because they're already having to put out money for a babysitter in best case scenario.
Yep.
So even though the wedding invitation would have come out, you know, weeks or maybe even months before, you still think it's an undue burden on the guests, even to be told that far in advance that it's an adult only affair?
Well, adult only affair for a wedding, for me, I automatically assume is just it's a dick move. I'm currently planning a wedding at Disneyland, and it's expensive. And my fiance and I, it'll automatically we can't say no kids on top of that. And we actually have a list of friends that are not close enough for family, and we've talked to them that they're not on the list, but they are going to be ready the night before. If we have no shows, they'll take the place right off.
What? See, Kevin, I told you there was a backup list. You have a bullpen for your wedding? What?
Well, kids hate Disneyland, though, so don't worry about any of them wanting to go.
Who wants to be on that list?
Michael, I have a feeling we're going to be reading some sort of Facebook scandal about your wedding. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but something's going to happen. Something's going to go bad. Thank you for the call, sir. All right, got some great calls, some great opinions on this. So we're asking a bunch of questions. I assume we all believe that the couple, even though they're butthurt that they got stood up at their own wedding and they're out $80, we all agree that they're dicks, right?
Yeah.
Are the guests dicks, though? And should they pay it? And should they have contacted the bride and groom? And what else do you think about this? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Hearing a lot of anger from you, Miss McCade, today about this topic, about some of these people. A Minnesota couple was sent a bill for $75.90 after canceling plans to attend a wedding at the last minute. That's what we are discussing here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people very upset by many people involved in the story. The bride and groom, yes, but also the couple that didn't show. And by the way, they still sent a gift, right? They are sure. RSVP'd, yes. They certainly are on the hook for a gift, right?
Not if they're charged. If they're charged, no.
That's interesting. How about, so if they pay the bill, no gift.
Yep.
If they don't pay the bill, gift.
No more friendship.
No more friendship. Right. Let's talk to Amanda. We're not finding anyone who's on the bride and groom's side, but it sounds like Amanda has been there and knows where they're coming from. From Northridge, Line 4, welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Well, my wife and I got married back in May, and my uncle, at the last minute, for some dick-ass reason, decided not to show up.
Right.
And we really debated going back, and we went back and forth for a couple of weeks deciding if we wanted to charge him or not, because one, I was very offended that he didn't show up and didn't even call and didn't even send in anything, like no gifts, no recognition that I got married, nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that he just doesn't like you?
No, he got into a stupid fight with my dad the night before.
Ah,
okay, let me ask you this, Amanda. Does it matter to you what the reason is that the person doesn't come to the wedding? Like this couple, in their defense, the couple that didn't show was because their babysitter flaked on them at the last minute. It's not like they woke up that day and said, you know what, I'd rather stay home and watch football. I mean, they had a legitimate reason for not going. Does that make a difference to you?
I mean, I guess it could. Like, in the case of my uncle, I was kind of like, this is a stupid, petty family thing.
Right.
And I'm getting married, and married only happens once for most people.
Yeah, well, twice for most people. That's twice for most people.
Super cute that you said once for most people.
All right, so we got to go. But did you end up charging your uncle?
We did not. We decided to send him a happy picture from the wedding and be like, wish you had been there.
You did the right thing. Don't you feel better, Amanda?
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Okay,
all right.
And a flaming bag of dog poop. We said that too. All right, let's go to Frank. He has also been in the position that the bride and groom are in. He's in Huntington Beach. He's up next. He's on line 3.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Ralph, Allie. I was recently married a few months back. 14 people didn't show up to my wedding, and I was really upset because they were all on my side of the family and friends.
Sweet.
So it really was frustrating, but none of them acknowledged it. None of them called me. I don't agree with charging. I mean, I was kind of upset and thought, hey, I lost out on about $2,000, so I kind of was a little upset about it. But then I thought, you know what? Our wedding planner told us in advance that between 4 and 15 people will probably not show up. Oh. So I wouldn't really worry about it too much. If you're going to charge them, that's kind of a jerk move.
in my opinion, but it is what it is. You know, you got to kind of just say, hey, the people that were there for a reason. They wanted to come, and the people that didn't show up are jerk faces.
14. What did you do to them? Frankie did say jerk face.
He said jerk face.
We all heard it, Kevin.
Are they jerk faces? Jerk faces.
Well, you can't say the other word on the radio, right. But we'll go with jerk faces.
Have you talked to them? What's the excuse of 14 people?
Actually, most of them I have not talked to, and I didn't receive gifts from. So, you know, they didn't acknowledge the wedding. They didn't send me a card or even call, for that matter. Only one person did later, and he actually explained that his work at the last minute, the guy who was supposed to show up so he can leave and come to the wedding, didn't show up, and then he called out the next day, so he had to work a double shift. So I kind of understood that one, which he told me later, but, I mean, that still kind of hurts, you know, especially when they're all on my side.
But look, yeah. The takeaway from that day has to be your wedding. I mean, that's all that you ought to remember from that day, is not the particulars of who was there and who wasn't there and why. I mean, just enjoy your spouse.
You're right, but when your wife reminds you of it all the time.
Well, that's tough. Yeah. All right. Well, you've got, you know, you'll do better your next marriage, man.
I guess so.
All right, let's do one more. I want to talk to Dolores Arcadia. If I'm reading correctly what's up on the screen, she may have a different angle on this. She's on line 7. Hi, Dolores. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. So over the summer, a good girlfriend of mine was getting married in Temecula at a winery. Last minute, I had a very ill family member. I had to fly out of state with my son. I let her know. I actually contacted the wedding planner from the winery and asked if I could pay for my plates. I come from a huge family. I know what it's like to have weddings and people not to show up and you got to pay for it and people get upset. No way did the bride or groom ask me to pay. And actually, the wedding planner said, no, no, no. We actually factor in that there are going to be no shows. She told me not to worry. My girlfriend contacted me. She says, don't even think about paying. We would never ask you. I don't think you should be asked to pay, but sometimes people should offer because mm-hmm. It does get expensive.
Right.
I mean, that's.
But Dolores,
$50 a plate.
Was your offer, hey, I'm going to make the offer, and then they're going to turn it down so I'm safe? Or was it, I really will pay?
No, I really was going to pay and send a gift.
Dolores she's very polite. That's what
it
is.
I'm a good person, especially because I know how much weddings. I'm the bridesmaid, never the bride, so I know how much weddings cost.
Samesies.
Yeah, no kidding. Allie's got your back on that.
I know, Allie. I love you, Allie.
Thanks, Dolores.
On that.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, maybe one day when you guys are out of all other options, you could just marry each other and be done with it.
That's sweet. Thanks
for the call, Dolores.
And I think the point here is RSVP no, right?
Yeah,
to all weddings. Just
yes, and don't be a jerk face.
And then show up. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Speaking of the Munsters theme, by the way, all this week on K-Rock, we are giving you tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Congratulations to our latest winner, Steve Simonian from Azusa. He just won his way in. Your chance to win is coming up. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
I may not be doing the Showbiz Beat any longer.
Why?
Oh. What
happened? Because due to public demand, I think once an hour we needed to do an episode of Reginald Hayforth, Riverboat Gambler.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear that.
The response has been overwhelming. A character I introduced last week named Reginald Hayforth, Riverboat Gambler, has now sweeped the nation. And people are demanding...
Define sweeping the nation.
People are demanding hourly updates and episodes of the adventures of Reginald Hayforth, Riverboat Gambler.
Okay.
As Reginald Hayforth always says, I'm a gambler by profession, a gentleman by nature, sir.
Edwin writes in, would love to hear... more of Reginald Hayforth. Hope it wasn't just sweet talk. We need a new serial. Imagine a showboat with K-Rock personalities on it. Cool old man Baxter as the owner of the showboat, regaling his employees with stories of the Pony Express. Beauregard Bingenheimer as the addled old prospector. Old man Ryder as the owner of the boat. Kitty McKay is the showgirl with a pet bear she smuggles aboard the ship. This thing writes itself.
I like it.
I even have a theme song for it called Old Man Rider. Old Man Rider, that old man rider, he don't know nothing but keeps on talking. I like it. This thing is taking off.
Why doesn't Edwin work here?
I have no idea.
He could replace any of us and the show would be better for it.
He always comes up with good stuff. Thanks, Edwin. So, Saturday night, Bean was very excited because there was a new Saturday Night Live.
Oh! Look, You know I like Saturday Night Live, but I love Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, that's inexplicable.
Yeah, you're just saying that because you're a contrarian.
Right.
I'm not just saying that at all.
You know, she's annoying and horrible.
Extraordinarily popular entertainer.
So you can't say, oh, she's wonderful. If you carry the banner for someone that's just completely unlikable, then it makes us all pay attention to you.
You think they picked her to host and be the musical guest of SNL because she's not popular?
We don't care about popular, Bean. No, we care about good.
She is good.
Justin Bieber's popular, too. It doesn't mean he's good.
Have you heard Miley Cyrus sing?
Yes.
But everything else about her is unbearable. Do you just live in a bubble?
Live in a bubble is a yes or no question.
That's right. Please answer the court.
She is extraordinarily talented, and I enjoy her work very much. Not everything she does, but like that first song she did, that song from the Julianne Moore movie that she did, The Hands of Love, I think it's called. Gorgeous song, beautiful rendition, great voice, really enjoyable performance. Glad I saw it. Why do you bring up SNL? Ratings were good, I heard.
Because the ratings were good, you heard.
Mm-hmm.
They were very strong.
This is Bean going, I'm right.
Yes, look at me. Everyone celebrate me.
No. I was just asking.
She's popular. The show's good.
I was just asking why he brought up. I thought maybe there was something going on with
it. Well, just that it was first episode back. The ratings were strong. And she came out in a bathing cap. She came out in a rubber bathing cap.
Okay.
With flowers all over it. And a dress was made of the same material.
Because she's crazy, man.
Bizarre outfit.
No, she's so... She's so out there.
She is out there.
She's shocking.
She's a free spirit.
And her monologue. Oh, the comedy. Oh, I can see why Bean never misses an episode of the show, because the comedy, the level of comedy. Well, I'm not going to try to describe it here. Judge for yourself.
And although tonight I am on a 7-second delay, not a television delay. It's just when you smoke as much as I do, you're always on a 7-second delay.
See? Because she's such a stoner. She smokes so much pot that she's a rebel.
She made a reference.
I think she's wonderful.
She smokes a lot of weed.
She's just wonderful.
Extraordinarily talented.
Oh, she's the best thing ever. Oh, she's rubber extraordinarily talented. Caps and comedy are amazing.
Look, even if you like her, you can't go extraordinarily talented.
I can. I'm talking about, predominantly as a singer. She is a great singer.
Take
and a
it
very
easy.
A very compelling musical artist.
She's either okay or sort of not okay. That's it.
No, but, she's amazing. I think she's just wonderful.
I am Team Miley. I'm sorry. I just am.
Oh, look. Everything she does. Look at it. It's so outrageous.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Look,
this is the guy who wants to be cool when he's 100.
Yep.
Look at all with a dope smoking and a rubber cap wearing. Who else does that?
Look, there are things
that
are annoying. I agree.
No,
she pushes my buttons.
Wonderful. She's the
too.
Best.
But I'm just saying, overall, I have a positive impression of Miss Cyrus. That's all.
Positive is acceptable. Extraordinarily talented? No, sir. No.
Beautiful, too, by the way.
Ugh.
Beautiful.
Dear God.
That face, that skin, those eyes.
All right.
So pretty.
Okay.
Allie.
Right?
No.
She's pretty, right?
Let me just read the box office numbers so we can all get out of here and take a shower.
Please.
What do you say?
Please.
Box office over the weekend, The Martian debuted at $55 million, making it number one by far. Hotel Transylvania 2 made $33 million. I think Hotel Transylvania 2 is a fabulous film. It should win all the Oscars because it's popular and people went to see it.
I didn't say it was good. Never mind.
Sicario was third. The Intern and then Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, fifth. Black Mass came in at number six. Everest, The Visit, War Room, and The Perfect Guy rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 5th of Rocktober! DJ Dylan Francis is 28 years old today. Jesse Eisenberg, very talented guy. Soon to be seen as Lex Luthor. Can't wait to see his turn in that character. 32 years old. Kate Winslet is 40. Guy Pearce, 48 years old today. TV host and physics dude. Neil deGrasse Tyson, smart guy, he's 57, and author Clive Barker celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
I think Clive Barker's the greatest man who's ever written a word of literature, because people buy his books. He's spectacular. Oh, everything he does is wonderful. I bought a dog because it barks, because I love Clive Barker.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't ordinarily recommend you listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. But this week, I got to be honest, I'm looking ahead. Zachary Levi on the program this week. Mm-hmm. Our friend Seth Green.
Yep.
Luis Guzman.
Yep.
Great actor. Part of that new Code Black TV show on CBS. Your friend Stevie Aoki, Kevin, is going to be here tomorrow.
Yep.
Comedian Brad Williams, Brian Deegan. And how about this? How about these three words to get you through the week? You ready for this? I know it's Monday. You're dragging a little bit, feeling a little down. What if I say these three words to you? Doto Periscope.
Yeah!
What if I say all of those things coming to you this week here on the World Famous
K-Rock? That makes me not care about all the other stuff.
I know, right? Can we get right to that?
All right, let's talk about this this new app that is supposedly going to happen called People. Mm-hmm. P-E-E-P-L-E.
People is supposed to happen at the end of November. There have been some aspersions cast as to whether this thing is real or not. Is this just an idea that somebody floated to see how it would go and now they're not going to make it? Or was the entire thing a goof from the beginning and they were never going to make it? I don't know, but I know I'm on the outside once again with my opinion here, Kevin. I think it's a great idea.
Sure.
I love it. I love the people out
there. Says the contrarian.
Look, no, I'm not being contrary. Look, here are my whole thing. How is this any different from LinkedIn, which is a way that you can find out what other people in business think about you as an employee? How is this any different from Yelp, where you can open up your phone and go, "Hey, I feel like some Thai food. Is there a good Thai food place around here?" And you crowdsource a Thai place that's near you that is delicious that other people have already tested out.
That's for business, though. This is for people. So if somebody hates you, they could pretty much just destroy you. And people don't need help being cruel on the internet.
Right.
I think we need another app for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Look, there always could be people who would give you a negative rating. But I would imagine if you're generally a pretty decent person, most people would give you a good rating. Don't you think that's the beauty of crowdsourcing? You can make the same argument about the LinkedIn comparison or about the Yelp comparison.
I don't know what LinkedIn is for, but I didn't think it was quite along these lines.
That's so cute, Bean.
What's so cute? I'm just saying.
You think if you're a good person, people will pretty much rate you pretty.
Yeah.
Bean, before this, said, I think I'd get a pretty good review.
Yeah.
I know I'd get a pretty good review. Well, anyway, is it real? Is it not? Is it damaging? Is it hurtful? Is it useful? We have many questions. We asked Dave, is there anyone we can talk to from the People app? And we have the marketing director, Taylor Maxwell, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Maxwell. How are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Thanks so much. I think you heard our introduction to the phone call here. Anything you want to say right out of the gate about what you've heard?
Yes, there have been some rumors that People is not an actual app. It will not be available.
Right.
We have been doing some alterations on our social media profiling. Mm-hmm. We have been restructuring, so there has been a bit of a restructuring, I'll call it that, getting things in order. But I guarantee you that People will be up and running soon. And right now we're just sort of beta testing it, but soon it will be available for everyone to use.
According to the BBC, the creators took their Twitter down. I mean, it looks like it's sort of not the case, but you're telling us it is 100% on.
Like I said, we're just restructuring to make a more effective opening and a more effective social media presence with the founders and the app itself. So we are pulling down all of the old sites, but we will be rebranding and re-releasing all that information shortly.
All right. So it sounds – and I'm the guy who thinks it's a good idea here, sir. It sounds
is a good idea. You're right. It's a great idea.
If you know somebody, you rate them in three categories as a person, personally, also professionally, also romantic. So this kind of gives a general sense to others who might be interested in that person what they're all about.
Right. If you're a good person, if you're a good worker, if you're a good man or woman in a relationship, then you should have nothing to fear from people. It should be something that you welcome. Because let's face it, the internet, what it's used for is when people like something, that's really when they get very passionate about it. People don't like something, they don't usually go on the internet and post anything.
I think it's the opposite.
No, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I think you're wrong.
The majority of people who go on the internet to respond to something are very full of praise and a lot of good things to say about things and people. It's the naysayers who tend to stay away from the internet. So we think People's a great app.
That's only 100% wrong.
Well, again, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
One of the app's founders, Julie Cordray, says, and you know Julie, sir.
No, sure.
People do so much research when they buy a car. Why not do the same kind of research on other aspects of your life, which just makes a lot of sense. Now, you say you're in beta testing now. Have you actually used the app to rate some real-life people?
We have lots of ratings, actually.
What do you do?
Of ratings have come in. A lot of as you can imagine, early on, it's personal relationships, people that coworkers, sometimes in terms of public figures, fan appeal, and okay. the people who partake in that person's work. We're getting a lot of different varying opinions from a lot of different varying sources.
Like what? Give us a kind of an overview of.
Well, I thought you might be interested to know that the three of you have already received reviews on people.
Oh dear!
Oh, yeah. Really?
Absolutely, yeah. Then it was announced. We got a flood of opinions about you three, and I was actually more than anyone else so far. The three of you have generated more reviews than anyone else we've had on the site.
And they were all positive, is what you're saying?
Oh well, there were. I'm sure there must be some in there.
Well, you told us that people don't use the internet or use apps to be negative. So
no,
I'm
assuming these are just people who feel it's necessary to maybe inform others about whatever they see, maybe your strengths or your shortcomings.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, let's do Kevin first, if we could.
All right. Sure. Actually, Kevin had more positive reviews than negative, actually.
Yeah! Oh, there you go. All right, see? Woo!
There was really one small negative one. The first one leads off. The only thing dumber than Kevin Ryder is, and then there's a long break, and it says, I'm sorry, I will finish this review when I do some more research on things that are dumb.
Well, that's not nice. Not a positive.
I don't feel like another one. Here's a good one. I love Kevin Ryder. I had a head trauma, which caused debilitating brain damage, and now he makes me believe I can have a successful career in broadcasting.
See,
Kevin, you're an inspiration to the kids, so that's
inspiring
good.
People.
Yeah,
here's another positive review.
Okay.
Me am like Kelly Ryderson. Me him good for me same people like have funny good drinking times and now go have like times him.
Boom. 3 for 3.
So there you go.
That's the one I wrote.
That's the one
I wrote.
This is the voice of Taylor Maxwell, marketing director for the new People app. Now, you say you have reviews on all of us. I guess, am I next or Allie? Who do you have
Allie McKay.
Next?
All right. Put her in the computer. Let's see what she got here.
All right.
Not all good.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's a good one.
All right.
I liked Allie McKay on television. I like her on the radio. However, I don't like it when she pulls her home into my 7-Eleven parking lot and sleeps there. Okay. The customers certainly don't like it as she panhandles for Diet Dr. Pepper outside the door.
Wow.
It's kind of pretty specific there.
Very specific.
I didn't realize you did that.
This one is pretty simple. Allie McKay, more like Fally McKay. That's just cruel.
Hurtful.
A lot of people rhyming with her name.
Yeah.
Allie McKay says the next one. More like Allie McSmelly Whore. Not that
I
even rhyme.
You said most of them were positive.
Well, that was the plan initially when we launched things.
Okay.
Let's take a look at Bean Baxter here.
Bean, I feel good about this.
I would like Bean to star in a movie called The Plutonian. It's like The Martian, only Bean is sent to Pluto and left there and then raped by a crop of potatoes.
Whoa! Oh, wow!
Now, that's negative.
Wow.
There's no doubt about that. That's negative. Some positive ones here. Bean Baxter is not the worst human in the world.
Okay.
Because a pile of poop does not qualify as a human.
Oh. Wow. Oh. That took a turn.
Yeah.
Here's a positive one.
Okay.
I love Bean Baxter. I was recently diagnosed with a terminal illness, and I was depressed. But that all changed once I started listening to Bean Baxter. I no longer fear death. Now I pray for it.
See? Right side.
Oh, sorry about that.
We always look forward to this moment every Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We welcome our good friend Andrew Siciliano to the show. In studio this morning, he is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
18 weeks in a row on the Red Zone without a bathroom break.
It's quite a streak.
That is correct.
Catheter, right?
It is not a catheter. It is not.
Really?
It is the power of the mind. Is the power of mind and crossing your legs.
I feel like we don't know. I feel like there are times when Andrew doesn't say much and they're showing a game. I don't know.
Well, we
maybe
do have,
sneaking off.
We do have pre-recorded fail-safes there if I do need to, quote, run down the hall.
Right.
Yes. However, it has not happened since week 3 of last season.
How many cups of coffee do you drink during the day?
I drink a 5-shot iced Americano on the way in at 6:40.
Mm-hmm.
If you must know, okay. I then use the bathroom multiple times before
say,
we start
poop?
At 9:55. We all have our morning routine. But we all have our morning routine.
How many details you need here, Allie?
And then once the show starts, Allie, then no. I do have a cup of coffee exactly at 10:02 when the games start, and then I usually refresh that at 1 when the late games begin.
You're a miracle,
and somehow even
your medical even, miracle,
even sure. with drinking a tall frothy diuretic all day,
right?
I do not. I mean, I can and I should and I will.
Hey, everybody, is there any football to talk about? Or?
No, wait. I'm sorry. We got distracted.
I mean, I went after Andrew. The show.
Sure.
I waited like 7 or 8 minutes.
And then when do you poop? Do you poop at night or do you wait until the next morning?
I mean, maybe we're off topic.
Okay. Andrew, the one thing, you brought this up multiple times yesterday. It's an epidemic. What is going on with the kickers in the NFL who no longer remember how to do their job? Yeah. What's happening? And what were the stats from yesterday?
All right. So there were 14 missed field goals yesterday. Actually, no, the entire week. So that includes the two that Josh Scobie missed on Thursday for the Steelers and subsequently lost his job.
Right.
So there were 14 missed, 4 missed extra points as well. So all in all, 18 missed kicks. Including kicks, obviously, in huge situations. The Jaguars had a chance to be in first place. Say that out loud. Your first place Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
It does not roll off the tongue. Mm-hmm. They missed a kick at the end of regulation. By the way, the guy that missed the kick was the kicker the Jaguars kept when they got rid of Josh Scobie after a decade and sent him to the Steelers.
Okay, good.
So he missed the kick, but Chuck Pagano, the Colts coach, called timeout in an effort to ice him. So the kick didn't count. Hey, son, try again. He missed again. So then they go to overtime. They drive down the field. Hey, kid, hit the kick, win the game.
Yeah.
He missed it again. That's three of them, the third one being shorter. The Charger game was the wackiest one because the Browns finding new and creative ways to lose since 1999.
They really do a good job of that.
So the Browns rally. They tie the game with a two-point conversion. Chargers march right down the field because the Browns have no defense. They line the kick up for this kid named Lambeau, who's a former MLS goalie. He misses the kick. We go to overtime, except the Browns had jumped off sides. Now, the kicker would claim that maybe I missed the kick because the guy was too close to me because he had jumped off sides. However, whatever. So he gets a second chance. Of course, he makes the second chance. And then last night in the Dallas game, you have the Saints kicker miss the kick, an easier one. They go to overtime. But then the Saints win it on the first play of overtime.
Why?
Yeah,
why?
What's going on?
Well,
because
what
first of all, they're not
this
football
year.
Players. I'm sorry. And by
kickers
the way,
kickers aren't football players.
5'7", 160 me shouldn't be saying that.
No, I hear you, and I agree with
you. But most football players will tell you they're not football players.
But in the past, they haven't been either, and they've been able to make field goals.
I don't know what it is. It's an It's officially an epidemic.
It's
with
crazy.
No known cure.
Isn't that wild?
And these, I mean, not all of them were big game situations. A couple of those were the ones I told you about. But many of them were just, yep, he missed it. First quarter, yep, he missed it. The Chiefs kicker, however, went 7-for-7. And he's a Brazilian dude. So maybe that's the answer.
All Brazilian kickers? That's what we need?
Yeah, get a Brazilian kicker.
All right.
And that's not code for anything.
Well, I'm glad we have our expert in here to tell us that he has as many answers as we do for why the epidemic is happening. But I guess we'll just have to keep an eye on it.
I don't have a good answer.
See,
I honestly don't. Yeah.
All right. I know I asked you this question last week, but I'm going to ask it again. 2 weeks in a row, I'm asking you, who had a worse weekend than Colin Kaepernick?
Oof. Who had a worse? Well, I would say many of the kickers that we just described.
Well, okay. I'm not sure, by the way. This dude, a couple of years ago, was in the conversation as one of the elite quarterbacks. As you pointed out, I think yesterday, Andrew, this guy was very close to winning a Super Bowl in recent memory, yet now he can't throw anything. Now, it doesn't help that he's getting sacked every 5 minutes, but what's wrong? What's going on
with
him?
He can throw to the other team, Bean.
He can do that.
Very
well. I think he had one yesterday, I think, right? Only one interception.
I believe
yesterday?
Only one.
And then that one where the ghost got right in front of him.
You saw the ghost, right?
It was insane.
Yeah. It was right from another dimension. It was amazing. Two things. Number one, how close was he to winning the Super Bowl? No one wants to talk about this, but if Jim Harbaugh hadn't called timeout, he was running in. So you remember they got it down the field. They're in the red zone against the Ravens. Time is winding down. Fourth down, he eventually throws an incompletion, and they lose the game. I believe on second down, he's running over the left side, and he's going in, except they whistled it dead because Harbaugh had the play clock winding down. He didn't whistle. If he didn't call timeout, he's going to score, and Colin Kaepernick and the Niners win the Super Bowl. Anyway, I digress. Moving on to yesterday.
What happened?
Yeah, what's happened to him this whole season?
Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers, when he was there, they tailored that offense to him. They gave him very little to do. They made it very simple.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's not a bright guy, but he's limited in terms of what he can do when a defense mixes things up and throws advanced math at him. And they made it simple for him. I'm not blaming the staff here, but it's not working, and he's regressing, and they're going to move on. And by the way, that contract they gave him was, it's like an ATM card. It's a pay-as-you-go thing. It's not one of these quarterback contracts where, oh, it's $80 million guaranteed. No, it isn't. It's basically 11 or 12 a year, which is very good money.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a year-by-year thing where they can cut that card up, and I would assume they would cut that card up after this season. Or
do they have a good backup?
Or no, they don't.
Okay.
Or maybe the coach goes after 1 year. That's the debate now. Do you try to save the quarterback, or do you try to save the coach? Because the quarterback makes five times the money as the coach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So which do you try to save? And no, the backup is a guy named Blaine Gabbert.
Do you make that move before the end of the season?
No, the coach you don't fire the coach in your first year. That's not going to happen. Although Chip Dolphins coach could get fired today. And he's in his fourth year. So that might happen by the end of the day.
Chip got up early to watch that game from London. She was up at like 6.
6:30 kickoff, and it was over by 6:50 for the Dolphins. Yeah. How'd that feel?
It's an epic disaster. They are a dumpster fire. They're a dumpster fire. They're awful. Awful.
By the way, you pushing Kevin out of the way to get to the mic there was great.
She made that one. We got to take a very short break. Andrew Siciliano is here, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and the Red Zone Channel on DirecTV. Many more games to talk about and a preview of tonight's Monday night game with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
It is 8:35.
About 20 minutes from right now, Matt Carreras is going to be joining us in studio. He was the star of one of the greatest movies of all time ever, Samurai Cop. And he is back, starring in Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. We'll talk all about it with Matt coming up. First, though, Andrew Siciliano is with us from the DirecTV Red Zone channel and Around the NFL on the NFL Network. Hey, what was it like for you yesterday, Andrew, on the Red Zone, working all day and not hearing from Patriots fans for a change?
Allie sent me some direct messages about. No, she did not. But I did not hear from Patriots fans, actually.
Oh, you did?
Right, because in the morning.
I think it would be so refreshing that they have a bye week, so you'd have to hear from these
A-holes. I thought they'd take the week off. We love them, by the way. We love the fans of all 32
all of
teams
us
collectively
do.
And equally. They're all created equally. However, so I tweeted during the morning, hey, raise your hand, and I bet you guys didn't know, most people didn't know, that the Carolina Panthers, if you knew, the Panthers had the longest active regular season winning streak in the NFL. It was 7 going into the day. Now it's 8.
Right.
Most people don't know that. Most people don't know they're undefeated in 4-0. They've won 8 in a row in the regular season. And I got tweets from Patriots fans saying, that's a bogus stat, man. Because we sat Brady week 17 last year, so that loss really didn't happen. You know, that shouldn't count.
What?
We
but
sat
it's still
Brady.
A loss,
that
right?
Doesn't even make
wrong.
Sense. Either
Edelman
won or you
didn't play.
So what?
Yeah.
Well, you won or you didn't.
They're angry, you know?
Wow.
They're angry. The Red Sox suck and they're angry.
I just don't feel like Patriots fans have a lot to be angry about with the success
Allie,
of that
why
franchise.
Are you looking at me like that?
I find you interesting.
Okay. All right. What about this? Here's a tweet from Rolling Stone this morning, Andrew.
Yes.
The wait until next year's Cincinnati Bengals may have finally arrived in 2015. Are you ready to believe? Speaking of 4-0 teams, how about the Bengals?
Yeah, I believe in them. They're really, 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 really good. John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens last week, said they had the best talent in the, did he say AFC or NFL? One of the two. Either way, that's good. Now, they have a habit of face-planting in January.
Yeah.
It's not a habit, actually. They haven't won a playoff game in like 20 years, if not longer. And they've gone 3 straight years of making the playoffs and being one and done. I mean, that's who they are. They look good, and they face-plant in January. However, this year, they look better than September's and October's past. Matter of fact, they look really, 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 really good. However, as Danny Green once said, if you want to crown them, go ahead and crown them. But we are who they thought they were until they prove otherwise.
So you like them, but history shows that you've liked them in the past and it doesn't work out.
If you play trends, they will lose in January. But they look really good for now.
Yeah.
And you want to believe, but I can't yet. I'm sorry.
All right.
I can't.
Don't blame him.
Have the Rams lost a game yet?
Yeah, they've lost 2.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all
I'm
right.
sorry. That sounds.
I know they beat me and they beat Kevin.
Yeah,
so
look who they've beaten, though. They've beaten the Seahawks and they've beaten the Cardinals. Those are two pretty darn good teams. They lost to the Steelers at home, a 1-score game, and they knocked out Ben. And they lost at the Redskins. But they're 2-2.
All right.
They're decent. Todd Gurley played last week or yesterday.
Todd Gurley.
Awesome.
Was this his first season, right?
It's only his second game.
Second game.
Right. He blew his knee out last November playing at Georgia. He still won 10th overall. He came in. They sat him. They were really careful. He touched the ball only a couple of times last week. Yesterday, he ran for like 140 yards. And get this, with the game on. So the Rams are trying to kill the clock. The kid's never scored an NFL touchdown.
Yep.
Right? He busts free. He could see the end zone. Now, he's got two guys to go through.
But he could make it.
He could fight for it. There's
almost no question he could have
made it.
I was really impressed by what he did.
He slid on his butt and went down because if he had gone out of bounds, it would have stopped the clock. And this kid said, I'm not going to try for my first NFL touchdown. I am simply going to take a seat on this luxurious grass, and I am going to let the clock run
so that my team can win. Twice in a row. The first time he just sort of stopped running, I was like, what happened? Is it a flag? Is it a whistle?
But the first time, he wasn't going anywhere. He just said, I'm not going to go out of bounds. Right. The second time, he is sprinting towards the end zone.
That was impressive.
He said, you know what? I'm going to sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this all in. And he just sat down. Yeah.
Do you think right now he's going, wow, I could have scored my first touchdown.
Absolutely
in NFL.
Could have scored. You know what? I could have totally gone through that dude. I wanted to hit him. I could have destroyed him.
Yeah.
But I sat down like it's a picnic.
Did you say picnic?
I did say picnic.
Yes. Checking.
Okay.
Tribute to Yogi Bear.
Yes.
The Bears won a game.
How about theirs?
How about that?
Yeah, so I said last week that without Jay Cutler, the Bears are the worst team in football. They got Jay Cutler back and they won. Look at that. But they tried to give it away multiple times.
Yeah.
And they really attempted to. But the Raiders didn't want to take it because, I'm not going to rip the Raiders. The Raiders are much better. But the Raiders had it. They could have won it.
There seems to be a lot of games where teams are trying to not lose more, or to lose more.
Or
I've got to lose, and I'll figure out a way.
You can
No, you're not going to lose. I'm going to lose.
That more games are lost than won? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's a league that is playing. Most players and most teams are at such a level that if you make a mistake, it's going to be enough to cause you the game.
Well, look at the Eagles and Redskins yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. So Ralph's Eagles were trying to lose.
Yes.
Jay Gruden's Redskins were trying to lose.
Right.
At the end, it was the Eagles that lost.
So did the Eagles win technically since they were trying to lose?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
At one point... the Redskins punted late in the game when they were losing, and it's raining and ugly, from the Eagles' 35. So it's a 53-yard field goal. Didn't want to try it. They said that's too long, bad conditions, don't want to miss it, give them good field position. So we're going to punt. Of course, the punt went through the end zone. The ball comes out to the 20. So basically, they just said, here, take 15 yards.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah, they actually asked the Redskins coach on that final drive, how was your coaching? And he laughed. That was great. Yeah. Just laughed it off because he realized what a disaster that was.
Yeah, but I had the Redskins in the suicide pool. So
how'd that go for you?
Who wins?
There you go.
Thank you.
How's your boy Peyton Manning looking?
Not good, but they won. They're winning because of the defense. I mean, they're not winning because of Peyton. Look, Drew Brees last night and Peyton Manning very similar in that they can't throw like they used to.
Right.
They know what they're doing. They're smarter than the other guy.
Right.
They can move the pieces around and play chess better than anyone else, but the arm isn't there anymore. It's like a veteran pitcher who's throwing slop up there, but they know how to get guys out.
Right.
Basically, you follow me on that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm going to paint the corners, and I'm going to trick you, and you think I'm throwing fastball. I'm throwing that change in
the
dirt.
But when it requires an actual throw, they can't really...
Well, that's the thing.
You got to
save them. You only have so many of them. And Peyton almost had his third pick six against him yesterday. Interception return for a touchdown. He don't look the same. That defense, though, might be the best defense in football.
Wow.
And they're going to, in Denver, they're going to win because of that defense.
Is this his last year for sure this time around, Andrew?
I can't imagine.
Every year is his last year, but this one might really be, right?
I think this one really is. They have the defense to win. I know this sounds crazy. Can he keep up his part of the bargain?
How old is he, Andrew?
Peyton is 39.
So younger than Matt Hasselbeck.
Yes, he's younger than Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck, who won for the Colts, is the oldest non-kicker in the NFL. He had two wide receivers who lined up yesterday who were 9-6 when he first put on an NFL uniform.
Six years old.
I had one of them on last week, T.Y. Hilton. I said, do you know how old you were when Matt Hasselbeck first suited up? And he said, 4? So actually, dude, you were 9.
That's
but
incredible.
If the Broncos win the Super Bowl, Peyton will become the oldest quarterback to ever win one by at least a year.
Okay. All right. We're almost out of time, Andrew.
Yes. I talked too much.
We love you, and we're always excited to do it.
I wasn't time for it. Thank you.
Is tonight a dud game for Monday Night Football? Everybody always wants it to be close. The line is 10.
Is that the Seahawk fan in you saying you're nervous?
No, the line is 10. Okay. What kind of a game are you expecting tonight?
Well, I would say this.
Against the 0-3 Detroit Lions.
The last 7 primetime games at home for the Seahawks, they're 7-0, and the average score is 30-10.
Okay.
So,
but then you bring in the Mighty Lions.
Then you bring in the Mighty Lions, who are the last winless team in the NFL.
Right.
I think the Lions, I don't think they're.
Is there ever a time when a team like this, like the Lions, just goes, you know what, we're professionals, we're getting our asses handed to us.
Yes.
We need to stand up and have some pride.
It happens all the time. I don't think they're
good. Is it going
to happen? It could. Look, the feared Legion of Boom for the Seahawks, they don't have a pick.
Yeah.
That's a
troubling statistic.
That is not good.
They also don't have Marshawn Lynch, right?
Marshawn Lynch is out tonight. Right. Undrafted rookie named Thomas Rawls will start at running back tonight.
Who was very impressive last week.
Yes, he's good. We'll he's not see. Lou. Don't call him Lou.
Okay.
Getting a tip.
Lou Rawls?
No,
you're stupid.
No, others have called him Lou Rawls accidentally. That has actually happened. I interviewed Michael Bennett of the Seahawks last week, and I said to him, I said, so this Thomas Rawls guy, yeah, have you met him yet? And he said, yeah, I just met him last week. Yep.
Yikes.
There you go.
That's insane. All right. Look, like you said, they play the games because you never know what's going to happen. And any given Sunday, that's the expression.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
So go Lions.
Or Monday
in this case.
Yes.
Right. All right. Anything special going on around the NFL this afternoon?
We're on Joe Philbin watch. Miami Dolphins head coach is allegedly on a hot seat.
Did they let him on the team plane?
They did.
To come back home?
They did.
That's a good start.
Look, most people think he's not going to get fired. His defensive coordinator is going to get fired. But remember, last year the Raiders lost in London. They, too, had the bye after, like the Dolphins do this week.
Right.
They let Dennis Allen get on the plane, fly back to Oakland, and then they fired him.
Okay.
So much shorter, much less time to contemplate that decision flying back to Miami.
Around the NFL this afternoon on DirecTV, that's at 3, I
NFL
would say. NFL Network, yes, and the DirecTV Red Zone channel every Sunday. Don't miss it. Andrew, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:05.
You've been bonding in the office with your co-star there, Ralph?
Revisiting, reconnecting with my co-star, Matt, from, of course, Samurai Cop 2. Deadly Vengeance. Can you let me get out the whole title first for corn's sake?
Sorry.
Come on, man. It's professional show business.
Please. Anyway, he joins us to talk
about 2.
Jeez. It's coming up on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the show. It's been on a Monday.
Deadly Vengeance. Very excited. I'm more excited is that they brought my clip in.
They did.
My first time seeing myself in the film.
All right.
I was able to watch it this
morning.
Pirate
Jack?
No, it's not Pirate Jack. That was Lavalantula.
Sorry.
You're mistaking all of my award-winning work.
Well, it's easy to do because you have so many roles.
All of my major film accomplishments of this, you know.
It's Bobby!
Lavalantula and Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance in the same year,
well,
I gotta say.
Pretty good.
There's a lot of Razzie buzz. So,
are you afraid you're peeking?
Here's hoping. I like to think
peeking a little too early.
Instead of peeking, I like to think I'm carving out a niche for myself.
All right. What's left for the rest of your career, though? Once you've already done this,
I think I could be, sort of the Michael Shannon of cheesy B movies. You know what I mean?
Nope.
The guy they turn to when they really need some gravitas to really bring a film to life. You know, Shannon's getting all the work these days, you know.
So you're the guy. If they need one
go-to guy.
One more thing.
Like one of those dependable character actors that you just pull in because you really need to put the project over the top.
Sure.
I'm sort of like the B-movie Wilford Brimley.
Something to aspire to.
Yeah. That's a good reference.
The people who got it loved it.
And yes, he did.
Speaking of movies, it's Monday morning, so always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This week, The Martian is number one. With $55 million. But I'm assuming next week, since Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance opens up this weekend, we're going to see a change at number one.
Sure. Right. Screw Mark Wahlberg.
Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon, too. Yeah.
Same thing.
I mean, not the same thing at all.
Screw Mark Wahlberg in general, I guess. But Matt Damon happens to be the star of The
Annoying assholes for 500, Alex.
Hotel Transylvania 2 was second with $33 million. Sicario came in at number three. The Intern and Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials. Were your top five films at the box office? Black Mass, Everest, The List, War Room, and The Perfect Guy were the rest of the films in the top 10. While we're talking movies, this is a very cool event that I wanted to give you a heads up about because it's a fun thing to do and a great way to raise money for a very worthy charity. Michael J. Fox, of course, famously has been battling the hideous disease Parkinson's, and there's going to be a fundraiser along with his organization, Team Fox, that is being done by some folks who are gathering together to celebrate Back to the Future 2 on the day that Marty McFly travels to in that film, October 21st, 2015. And they're doing something called the Million McFly March, where people will dress up like Back to the Future characters and help raise money for Team Fox. It's very cool. It's going to be music, entertainment, raffles, a costume contest. And if you'd like to participate, you can go to millionmcflymarch.com. Or they've got a Facebook event page. You can check that out as well. Just if you do some Googling on Million McFly March, you'll find all the information you need. But they're going to do it at the location used in the film. The Burbank Burger King on Victory Boulevard was right next to Doc's garage in the film. So they're going to use an actual location. They're going to gather together, and they'll be raising money for Team Fox to battle Parkinson's disease. So great, great.
All event. Good?
All good stuff right there. Right? Can't have anything bad to say about that?
Correct.
Okay. Speaking of money, we were talking last week about that Star Wars stuff that was going up for auction. Mm-hmm. They had a big auction with a lot of props and costumes from the Star Wars Empire, no pun intended, and they brought in some big money. There was a miniature model of the blockade runner vehicle that Princess Leia flies in the original Star Wars movie. That's the one that Darth Vader boards looking for the plans to the Death Star. The miniature model they used of that vehicle... $450,000.
Wow.
Remember we were talking about Princess Leia's slave costume? When she's captured by Jabba the Hutt? And we were estimating what that would go for. What did we say? Did we have any guesses? The costume from Return of the Jedi?
I don't remember any of the guesses.
Well, it sold at auction. But what do you think it sold for? It was less than the miniature model.
$20,000.
$96,000. Good, Allie. Well done. You only know because you paid that much for it.
He has it.
Yes. Stormtrooper helmet, Darth Vader helmet, a bunch of stuff went up for auction and brought in big money. So people like Star Wars, it turns out.
What?
Who could have guessed that? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these celebrities were born on today, the 5th of Rocktober. Jesse Eisenberg's 32 years old today. Kate Winslet turns 40. Guy Pearce, 48. Neil deGrasse Tyson celebrates his 57th birthday today. And author Clive Barker, as we head into the Halloween season, it seems appropriate that we give tribute to one of the horror meisters of film and books, 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, would you assume that they're just going to give you the Oscar? Like this weekend?
Well, when do you think they'll just give it to you right away, right?
I would think. I mean, the best supporting actor category, I think, now is closed out with my performance in Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance.
But should we bother voting, or should it just be an automatic?
I think it's just a given.
Once people see the movie.
Well, the buzz is pretty strong. I hate to toot my own horn here, but there is buzz. Let's say that.
Kevin is referring to the forthcoming movie Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm dying here.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we couldn't be more excited to welcome the star of this movie and the first Samurai Cop movie, Matt Carrettis, joins us in studio here on the Kevin Show. Hey, Matt.
Thank you so much. The insanity continues.
It does indeed.
We had you on just about a year ago with a Kickstarter campaign to get Samurai Cop 2 made.
Yes.
Did you ever have any doubt that the fans would come through and the money would come to you to make this?
Yes,
movie?
I did.
And, really?
And because of you guys, we just it went way over the total.
Matt, I've come to know Matt a little bit, and I've realized that he is very much a realist when it comes to this film and his career as a movie star.
Is that right?
Yes. He does not take this lightly. He appreciates this opportunity, but doesn't take it all that seriously.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody knows that what's going on here.
I'm here on the joke, for God's sake. Samurai Cop, let's cover the groundwork of the original a little bit. That was made... How many years ago?
1990. Yeah, almost 25 right. years ago, yeah.
And it is one of those films that people who know it, love it, and then share it with their friends, and now it has this cult following and has had for years, and you were caught completely off guard by the reaction that people had to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, when we made that, it just disappeared. It was never released anywhere. I mean, the director, I think, shopped it around at the AFM. But, yeah, it never went anywhere that anybody saw it. So, yeah, it was a huge shock to see it start popping up on YouTube and clips. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. And then there was a rumor for a long time that you had passed.
Yes.
That Samurai Cop was dead.
Yeah. There was an actor or another gentleman that had the same name as mine. And then when he passed away and they thought he was attached somehow to the movie business, that was me. And so I was happy with that. But my daughter said, Dad, they got the wrong guy. Let them know. It's.
There was never any theatrical release, even as a midnight movie, a cult film?
No. I spoke with the director's son, Ben, and he had said his dad just sold it at the AFM, and it was huge in Scandinavia and, I mean, you know, overseas market, but never, no, nothing here. I just had a time-coded copy. That's all I ever had of the VHS.
And then someone found an original negative of the first film?
Yes. Nicole's who's here with me today. She was doing another film with our director, Gregory Hatanaka, and she was in between shots, and they were looking in this old storage area, and there they were, these rusty canisters that said Samurai Cop, and she said, Greg, come here and look. And it was, like I said, Raiders of the Lost Ark moment for him to say, oh, my God, this is that cult film everybody's talked about.
So Matt, there are lots of movies that are made that are just okay and lots of movies that are made that are not so good. What is it about Samurai Cop that has created this frenzy over 25 years? Like, why do people still pass this around to their friends? What is it that's special about the original Samurai Cop in your view?
I think it's that it was never an attempt to make a terrible movie. And I think Amir at that time was trying to make, you know, action movies with the good-looking leading man and the girls and so on. But the quality and the budget in which he was dealing with was so minimal that sometimes you just end up with a classic disaster, but not purposefully. But,
I've always said to friends, I said, the fact that this movie is so earnest and trying so hard to be good,
really,
and yet failing so badly at that attempt is what really, that's where the magic comes
from.
Yeah,
and again, it was not intentional on Amir's either, but I mean, sometimes you just can't afford to do, I mean, like we've talked about with the wig, which was the infamous thing in this movie.
Yes. Let's recap that real quickly.
Yeah, yeah. We'd finished all pickup shots, and he said, we're done, thank you so much, I'll be in contact with you, you know, when I have a copy for you.
And you had very long hair like you do
now.
Yes, you had
long hair. And then so I cut it short, shot new headshots. And then he called me back to the office like 3 months later. And I thought he was going to give me the tape. I walk in and he just slipped out. He's like, oh, my God, I have more things to shoot. And I'm like, you're kidding me. You said we were done. So he did immediately grab me. We headed up to Hollywood Boulevard and grabbing the first wig he could find off the rack.
Yes.
And I was trying to be accommodating, thinking, okay, maybe it's some faraway shots, no big deal. But again, it was, as you've seen, very tight close-ups and many fight scenes with the wigs. So.
You go from looking like you do now with this long straight hair to sort of like a Jacqueline Smith-era Charlie's Angels permit wig on you. It's feathered, yes. It looks very, very odd and jarring.
The humidity was not kind with that wig.
Let's give it up for Matt's hair today. 25 years after Samurai Cop, he's got a beautiful, luxurious head of hair.
And I'm a little envious of the black leather duster he's rocking today, too. That's a pretty strong look. Yeah.
All right. So, Samurai Cop, it comes out. It becomes a cult favorite, passed from friend
to friend. Well, hold on. Before you jump to that, Amir, the guy who wrote and directed this film, you have to understand that English was his second language.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he wrote the script in English. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of like he was translating it in his head.
It was all his writing. And
some of the dialogue sounds very stilted because it's basically a person whose English isn't their first language writing dialogue for American actors.
Yeah, some of the phrasing that we've all loved, you know, come to love. And that's like when you asked earlier, what do people love about it? It's just that you can just watch this and you have to be into that genre of films that are so bad they're great.
Can we play a scene from the first film?
Please, no.
Sure.
Maybe my favorite scene.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, and Matt's character in the first film, he's a strapping leading man, and he is very sexy, and the ladies love him, and he loves the ladies. And he is in the hospital visiting a victim, a perp, trying to get information out of him. And he runs into a beautiful nurse in the hallway. And, well, the sparks fly, as you can tell.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Uh-huh. Yes, I would.
Would you like to me?
Bingo.
Well, then let's see what you've got. Doesn't interest me. Nothing there.
Nothing there? Just exactly what would interest you? Something the size of a jumbo jet?
Have you been circumcised?
No. Yeah, I have. Why?
Well, your doctor must have cut a big portion of it off.
No, he was a good doctor.
Good doctors make mistakes, too. That's why they buy insurance.
Hey, don't worry. I got enough. It's big.
I want bigger.
So that was the rehearsal tape, right?
That's the best dialogue of all time.
That was fantastic. I did actually try to not have to say those lines. I told him, this doesn't really sound good. But anyway, that was me really trying to do good acting, so I'm not making any excuses. That was horrible.
So the man who wrote, someone acting. Gives you a script, you're just like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Right? Like I said, Amir gave me a kid to come off an airplane from Portland, Oregon, just hoping to get an extra part to be given a starring role. I'll say whatever he wants me to say.
Right.
And that's basically, I just thought, I'll just do this, get some tape and try to take the best footage out of it and try to, keep
get something real.
Yeah, exactly.
So he wrote the script and he's paying for the movie. So you just have to say yes.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Your job as an actor, you're just paid. And it's his vision. And like I said, I was just so lucky to have that opportunity.
This is the voice of Matt Caritas here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. He is the Samurai Cop. Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. And we have so many more questions for you. But I do want to mention before the break that it is having its premiere in North Hollywood at the Lemley NoHo 7 this Friday night. Now, Ralph, are you going to that?
Sadly, I will be out of town. I'm leaving town this weekend. I got some Babylon shows to do in Philadelphia and New York this weekend. So I won't be here. And it's breaking my heart because I want to see it up on the big screen.
Right?
Yes.
Tickets are on sale now for those screenings, as far as you know, Matt?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, I think the first show, the first show is almost sold out already. But there's
The 720. What we're going to actually have, crew myself, everybody will be there on the Friday the 9th and Saturday the 10th at the 720 showings. I'll probably be there every single showing because I'm going to milk this 15 minutes of fame for all that I can.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm here. Hey,
it's me.
All right, let's take a quick break with Matt. And then when we come back, we want to talk about, Ralph, your excitement with the Kickstarter started and how you realized instantly, day one, you said, this is made for me. I got to be in this movie. And do I understand that we are actually going to world premiere your scene from the film
coming up? We will play the audio from the scene that I appear in Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. And, again, a lot of Oscar buzz. That's all.
Talking Samurai Cop. On the Kevin DeMeade Show, the original, the beloved film from 1990, now has a sequel premiering this weekend at the Lemley NoHo 7 in North Hollywood. Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. Our friend Matt Caritas is in studio with us here. Ralph, how'd you first hear about the Kickstarter and what went through your mind?
A buddy of mine back east who I shared the love of Samurai Cop with gave me the heads up. And he said, they're talking about making another one. And I was like, don't you tease me. And he said, no, there's a Kickstarter up. And I saw the Kickstarter page, and I saw they were trying to raise the money for at least the principal photography. And I said, I want to promote this. And more importantly, I saw as one of the bonuses that you got, if you donated X number of dollars, you got to appear. They promised you to appear in the film opposite Samurai Cop himself, Matt. And I said, well, look, whatever. If I do nothing else in my career, I can point to that scene and say, I was in Samurai Cop 2.
When Ralph came in and told us about that, he was never more happy in his entire life. Absolutely.
Because it's a chance to jump into a comic book. I mean, it's like it's something you've watched your whole life. Said, what, now I can just step into that and I can be part of that? Sign me up. And I did, and they did, and we did.
All right, Matt, now let's hear your perspective. How did you hear about the Kickstarter first?
First of all, I think I owe you your money back since our scene together was me in it with you.
Hardly, sir.
But Kickstarter, it was something that the director had talked about, the crowdfunding thing. And like I said, before you got on, Ralph, it was probably at, I don't know, $5,000, and we were looking for 50. And then after we went on air and did our little interview, we ended up, like I said, with 64K, and it was just
Here's the thing. The people that listen to this show like bad.
Or else they wouldn't listen to this show. Yeah. But I like the fact that people did donate, and it was nice that our listeners did. But more importantly, I think I turned a lot of people on to the original film who maybe hadn't seen it before. So I think a lot of people – it's on Blu-ray and DVD now, right? Cinema Epoch? They've got it out now in a beautiful print. But a lot of people found it and watched it and said, hell yeah, I'd like to see more of this. And that's why they donated, because they were as excited as I was to see more adventures.
What these guys
with Matt and Mark.
Now, Matt, you told us when you sat down here this morning that you're in on the joke. It is what it is, and you are what you are. But was there any part of you that didn't want to revisit the world of Samurai Cop and be in the sequel?
No. I mean, being a narcissist, any attention is good attention. No, I thought once I met with the director, Greg Hatanaka, because once that YouTube video went up of me saying, hey, I am alive, I met with him, and I was just like, why would anybody want to do a sequel to Samurai Cop 2? And then once I realized that I didn't know that there was such a worldwide fan base of this genre and this kind of – and then the comments that I would read, they're very endearing, and people mocked and made fun of, and I'm totally in agreement, especially with my acting and what went on there. But we all kind of knew what was going on, so – I just thought, hey, you know what? Maybe another shot at redemption, because in my current 9-to-5 job, people are like thinking that's all I could do. So I said, if I can do a sequel and say, all right, now judge me from here on, and I hope I've at least raised the bar a little.
I hope not, because
in the genre. What if you're too good now? What if you're too good? No. You ruin the film.
The first one was perfect.
Yeah. I don't think I'll let anybody down.
It must have been an odd kind of pressure to realize that their fans of the first film are going to expect this to kind of be bad in order to fulfill sort of the joy they got out of the first film. It's odd going into a project knowing that people kind of like the first one because it sort of failed to achieve what it was looking for.
And that was kind of the
tricky. You don't want to make a bad movie. Right.
And that was the tricky. I mean, we all knew that, and the director, because you can't intentionally copy what went on there. But I think that there's such a broad fan base. I mean, our fans are fans, but there's fans that are really critique-y on technical, or their, they all have their certain thing that they love about the movie. And I think we touched all of those aspects for everybody. So when they do come, I mean, I've watched it and it's hilarious. I mean, I just have a blast watching it. And I didn't realize, because I'm in the middle of filming it, and it's only after Greg, and it was his vision, and he did such an amazing job getting all the talent, like I said, Tommy Wiseau and just so many people, Bai Ling, and it's just an ensemble cast. It's our version.
And the 2014 Penthouse Pet of the Year, by the way, Bell.
Lexi Bell, Caden Cross. It, yeah. But it's Gregory Hatanaka's version of a cult movie, Expendables. He's just gathered the most talented people from all, aspects of their genre of what they do. And threw them all in this mix.
I think one of the strong suits also is that you, Greg took the storyline and just went bat-ass crazy with it. That really helps.
Some intentional, some not.
And I mean, there's all kinds of madness going on.
That was throwing a lot of people off because, again, at this low budget level, you basically use what you can. And one of those sets is very similar to a space set. So it was throwing people off in that trailer that we released earlier.
Yes.
But, again, it's just using what was available. And that's why I said, kudos, hats off to Gregory Hatanaka, because to have this movie come from a year ago, I come back alive and he writes the script and it's, we got crowdfunding. We're in the can and here we are in the theater, 10 months.
It's a Christmas Day miracle, Charlie Brown.
It is, absolutely. So I don't take that lightly. And I thank him and Amir both for letting me have this opportunity to goof around.
Matt Kuraitis is here. The Kickstarter that you read that morning, Ralph, that fateful morning last year, said appear on screen with star Matt Kuraitis in a scene from the film. You will be given at least one line of dialogue, must be 18 or older, responsible for your own travel and lodging. Location will be in the Los Angeles area. So you said, boom, sign me up for that. Now tell me about your scene.
Right. So I pays my money and they bring me to the set. And they said, here's what we have in mind for you. You're going to be a bartender in a scene. Matt's character is coming in. He's got to look for the bad guys. He's scoping out this nightclub and you're a bartender. And all you have to do is serve him. And I said, well, that's a piece of cake. I'm going to say, like Pee Wee Herman from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Can I help you, sir? And that'll be my line. And I'll wink to the camera and I'll get thrilled. The hell out of there.
Yeah. And by the way, you're a professional actor and a former bartender. Yes. No one has ever been better cast for a role than you are.
Researching this my whole life.
Yeah.
So I show up on the day and everybody was so nice. And it was so fun sometimes to be on a set where budget is low. And everyone is sort of pitching in to make something happen because everyone's there because they want to be there and they're all working because the focus is to get the product, right? Yeah. And so I show up and they say, here's an idea what we had for you, but feel free just to do whatever you like. That's like,
sweet.
This is awesome. And I said, so what's Matt going to do? He's like, well, he's going to come in and he's going to lean up against the bar and he's going to ignore you. And I was like, excuse me? He said, he's going to be scoping. He's looking for bad guys. He doesn't have time for small talk with you. So it ends up being just a rambling monologue that I went on for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And then they just took what they wanted and cut it down to this scene that we got.
And he's not right. paying any attention to you?
He's leaning against the bar. He makes an order initially. And then at that point, no, he's just looking everywhere else but at me while I'm talking to him.
All right, the world premiere of the Ralph Garman scene from Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance, in theaters this weekend.
Hey there, what can I do for you?
One kombucha, please. And some kale chips.
Sure you wouldn't like something a little stronger? You know, they say if you drink that stuff, you live longer. I say it just feels longer because it tastes like It's like being married to the wrong woman, right? Your first wife, for example. You're married almost 8 years. Tell people it feels like 8 minutes underwater. But I got a great wife now, my second wife. She's great. Got a couple kids. You know how kids are. Always got their hand out, right? Money, money, money. Give me money. All right. I'm going to go clean some glasses and just give me a shout if you need anything. Pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ladies
thank you so
and
much.
Gentlemen. Come on. Thank you. For your consideration.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
That is fantastic, Ron. Wow.
Pretty proud.
All right, Matt, this weekend, Lovely NoHo 6, North Hollywood. The cast is going to be there for the 720 shows Friday and Saturday night. And then what happens? Wider release, DVD release? What are the plans for Samurai Cop 2?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're hoping that, yeah, at least the word spreads. Everybody comes and they do enjoy it. Tell a friend, like this kind of movie's been about, like Telephone Game. You let somebody else know. And then, yeah, they were talking about perhaps moving it over into other theaters like Westwood, where we got a campus there of, you know, college fans.
Fantastic.
And so on.
And knock the Martian down one? Just take over?
Yeah.
And you're going to take it on the road, too. Aren't you going to travel across the
country?
Yeah,
it's already scheduled. It's heading up to Portland, Seattle. I mean, we have fans all across the U.S. I know it's going to Austin, and then I'll be in New York City the 20th, 21st. I know Chicago, and then obviously we'll head over the pond over into U.K. And
how about that?
It's just crazy. This is crazy. I mean, there's just fans all over, and you know, like I said.
What a happy ending to your story, Matt.
It is. Like I said, it's my own little
Rocky story. Let's hope it's not over, Bean.
This is it.
By a bus.
15 minutes.
No, I'm saying.
What a great last day for you.
Yeah, that's great. Now that your life is over, at least you have this, Matt. Good for you.
Go back to work.
Well, thank you for coming in. We really enjoyed our part of the journey with you. We really appreciate it. We love your work, and we're very excited about the movie. Thank you, sir.
Thank you guys so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10. All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're giving away tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. You think Beer Mug got the name right that's up on the screen right now of our latest winner from Corona?
I don't see the name.
I don't see a name.
But I don't see the name, and I'm going to say no.
Ashley Ian. Well, it's Ashley, and then I-A-N at the end. Is that possible that that's a name?
Ashley, or
is that
just... Ian? Her last name's Ian?
No, her last name is Parker. No. What the hell kind of a name is Ashley Ian?
Muggs. Ashley Ian is her first
name.
What is
that?
He's saying he's right.
He said that is her first name, Ashley Ian.
That sounds shaky to me. Anyway, congratulations. You are going to Six Flags Magic Mountain to get to ride all the great coasters and stay through the night to experience a haunted scream park like no other. Your chance to win coming up. Details at KROQ.com. Rob is here now. Time for the show to speak.
I approve of Beer Mug, and I think he's doing a great job.
Same.
All right.
I support him.
It is opposite day. I didn't realize that.
Let me give you something, good people of KROQ. How about a pair of passes to the KROQ advanced screening of a new feature film, which looks terrifying just in time for the haunted Halloween season. It's called Crimson Peak.
Yay! You are all going to die tonight.
Young woman meets a very seductive stranger. You know,
sure.
Like when every woman meets Bean. Handsome, charming, seductive. Sweeps her off his feet with his charm and wit.
I have noticed that as a lady killer.
His good looks. Yeah, they call you a lady killer because you kill so many ladies, though. That's a different reason.
I thought it was a compliment.
So the young woman gets swept off her feet, and she goes to move into his estate, the top of a mountain. Not a good idea.
No.
Because inside that home, death awaits. Tom Hiddleston stars, Jessica Chastain, Charlie Hunnam. Big name cast in this
one.
Looks terrific. We're having a very special KROQ advanced screening of Crimson Peak at the Pacific Grove Theater on October the 13th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on the 16th, but you... and a lucky friend will get to attend our special KROQ advance screening. If you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through get a pair of passes for our advance screening of Crimson Peak. 1-800-520-1067.
too late.
Yeah.
Bean is bad.
Right. In other news.
For many reasons. I think perhaps first and foremost is his inexplicable love for Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
And she was the host of Saturday Night Live over the weekend. And I'll tell you something. She is just out of control. She is an outlaw. She really, really... Oh, she came out and she was wearing a bathing cap. What kind of madness is this? What's going on? And she had a hilarious opening monologue where she talked about how much pot she smokes. She's a rebel. She's shocking America with her behavior.
Because she smokes pot?
Yeah, Kevin, no one does that. Huh. But Miley Cyrus, or at least she seems to think.
Huh.
And although tonight I am on a 7-second delay, not a television delay, it's just when you smoke as much as I do, you're always on a 7-second delay.
Yeah.
Look, it was just one joke in the monologue.
No, but that's super, that's representative of her.
It's very indicative of everything she says.
I feel like, and Allie, tell me if I'm wrong about this, I feel like if Seth Rogen had made that joke, Ralph would think it was funny.
I don't think so.
Not that joke.
Yeah.
So first of all, Seth Rogen would not make
that joke.
He wouldn't
have made that joke.
He'd say, oh, boy, that's not funny. Let me write up something that's funny for this chunk right here.
Exciting.
All right. Ugh. She just got no time for Miley. But you admit she's an excellent singer.
Really?
She got a great voice.
No.
Have you heard Wrecking Ball?
I have. She's got a good enough
voice.
Slow down.
Not enough to overcome all the other stuff that she the baggage that she... The tongue and the twerking and I'm so crazy and I'm waxing my armpits on Instagram and look at me and I'm smoking dope. I'm a wild child. Enough already. Sit down, you hippie.
I'm asking you once again to listen to this.
Well.
Okay, I take it back. That is good.
No.
Not anybody can make that kind of magic.
Right. I have to admit, her recorder skills are beyond compare.
You weren't asking us about that.
That's right. You just said brought up singing. You didn't bring up her excellence with the recorder. Speaking of unbearable things, you know that Christmas rapping song, that freaking Christmas rapping song?
Yes. Oh, by the Waitresses?
By the Waitresses? Really one of the greatest Christmas songs in
Bean loves more than life itself.
Stop it.
That one?
It's one of the best songs ever of any genre.
I didn't think it could get any more annoying until I heard Allie sing it.
Yeah.
No, it just got worse. Well, the bad news is someone's remaking it.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, Allie.
Well, they're not taking away the old one.
How do you touch a classic? Oh, no, that guy. I've been waiting all year. I have cranberries. Oh, where's my turkey?
Right?
F you. F that song right in the ear.
Favorite line at the same time. And she had her cranberries.
No, like that guy. Hey, I'm shopping. Oh, it's so snowy. That song blows.
It's so good.
It's the worst Christmas song ever.
So tell me about this new version, because I know that it has been remade before, but what's new? What are they doing? What's going on? I'm very excited by this news.
Entire history of Christmas rapping.
He does.
He knows it all. Kylie Minogue will be remaking it on her upcoming album, Kylie Christmas.
Okay.
It's a duet with Iggy Pop.
Oh.
What?
Wait, for real?
You're making that up.
Everything is wrong about this.
No way.
Everything is wrong about this.
You remember the Spice Girls version? That was really good, Ralph. You probably liked that. You love the Spice Girls.
I do love the Spice
Girls. They did a very nice job.
And I mourned their choice when it happened.
Our little friends in Save Ferris had that cover. Remember we put on a Kevin Bean Christmas album all those years ago? That was very good as well.
So on with my boots back out in the snow.
Wow.
Oh, I hope you remake it, Allie.
Yeah, I hope you don't.
Fire beer mug, right. Fire beer mug this year. Fire beer mug.
See, now that's a song.
There's another cover right there.
Good one. Oh, that song.
Oh.
So good.
And I got a flu, and I couldn't go to the party. Kill yourself. That's she's how you have a Christmas. That's how you celebrate.
She's already dead. She died of cancer. Right?
Oh.
Oh.
Then I feel bad.
Wow.
But not bad enough to like that song. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse Eisenberg is 32 years old today. Kate Winslet turns 40 years old. Guy Pearce is 48. Neil deGrasse Tyson is 57 years old. And speaking of Halloween, the upcoming season of horror, Clive Barker, the master of horror, legendary author and also filmmaker, 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's take another run at this.
And although tonight I am on a 7-second delay, not a television delay. It's just when you smoke as much as I do, you're always on a 7-second delay.
She still got it.
That is the best version ever.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, including Thanks for That Info, Bean.
How dare you?
Mm. By the way, Ralph, we got a big problem here, too, because she, Bean,
likes
to engage in this conversation with Bean. No.
I feel like I'm helping
She
this
doesn't
segment.
Understand that the rule is that you shut up.
Do not engage. She is an enabler.
She
absolutely.
Is. She Finally, is. Someone with some goddamn sense on
She's
this
a bean-nabler. I call her a bean-nabler.
So that's tomorrow morning, along with Steve Aoki. Pretty close.
Pretty close. Huh? Not bad.
Steve Aoki will be joining us in studio tomorrow morning.